If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Like, I'm such a sweet girl. Like, and I'm such a good catchin'. Like, people think, like, I'm surfacey or whatever, but I think when it comes down to it, just, like, the truth is that, like, yeah, you know, people are mean to me, you know, sometimes when, because of the way I look, you know, and I mean, it sounds, like, so stupid, but, like people hate me because I'm beautiful, you know, like, and that is, sounds so horrible, you know, but, like, that is, like, a real thing, you know, and it's a curse as much as it is a blessing to be pretty. I mean, like, no matter what, like, there is a huge, like, prejudice and racism, and when it comes down to it, like, that's why, you know, this didn't work out, you know, just because, like, if I would have just been a little uglier and a little less noticeable, it's just, you know, really sad.
And now,
look, first of all, women are not people. They are devices built by the Lord Jesus Christ for our entertainment.
Our feature presentation.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big. Come on.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Hey, remember when my boss called you Rob Durden for about 3 hours straight?
Love that. I love that so much. I love it so much. I love the fact that I just didn't say anything and then it just kept riding and riding. Like, I just love it.
You made the whole thing gold. It could have been just like one little slip up, but you made it a legendary moment.
I just love, I'm glad that I have that opportunity to share that with those guys, because it is funny.
That's great. That was funny.
Good times.
You know, you get something in your head, you just can't, it doesn't even register that you're saying it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
even register.
Oh,
you just keep right on moving.
I often think of the wrong person as Ralph was doing a showbiz, and then thank God 2 minutes later when I realized who he was talking about that I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I need to learn that skill.
That chick that was talking in the opening, by the way, about the curse to be beautiful.
Right.
I came across that piece of tape yesterday. Her name was Sarah. And was she on The Bachelor? Do you guys remember?
I
Is that where
so.
We got her? Was
I
from
think
The Bachelor?
So.
Because she's priceless talking about how people are racist and sexist and everything against the beautiful people, which is hilarious. But she doesn't know what it's like to not be beautiful.
Yeah.
So she just assumes that all of her problems are because she's so pretty. And I just thought that was very, very funny. And the reason I thought of that is because I saw a little bit of – I didn't even know The Bachelorette was on. I didn't know that show even still existed.
Right.
But apparently what they do is they do The Bachelor, which is still popular, I guess. And
yeah.
then oftentimes whichever girl doesn't get picked – the loser of The Bachelor then becomes The Bachelorette, and then they do a whole new show since people already know who she is, and then they line up a bunch of guys to come and try to have sex with her, right?
When you say yeah. the loser, you mean the second place, not the last
exactly.
place.
Exactly.
Right. The
second.
Yeah, the two.
Yeah.
Okay.
When
the one he doesn't pick.
Okay. All right.
Right. The one who's not good enough for The Bachelor, then she becomes somehow a prize. I don't know how that works. But anyway, so I saw some of it last night. I didn't even know it was on, but I saw some of it last night. And it was so fascinating because one of the guys in particular, but several of the guys were sitting around bitching that this girl, The Bachelorette, was going out with more than one guy at one time. I mean, they were really, really angry. I can't believe she's doing that to me. It really upsets me that she's dating other guys.
They're upset on the show that she's
on The Bachelorette. Yes,
that she's having dates with more than one guy.
Yes, one guy ruined his whole date with her just because all he wanted to do was complain. You went out with another dude last night. She's like, it's The Bachelorette. You're a contestant. Essentially, she said, which is what we were all thinking. You're a contestant on a game show that you signed up for knowing that you would be one of 25 guys that would be trying to go out with me.
Wow.
It was the craziest thing I ever saw.
It's funny because women are always like that. But then you realize that most of these shows put women in that position with men being the one they vie for.
Right.
And usually, it's not that often that the tables are turned this way.
That's really weird.
And now it's bringing the same thing out of the men.
But women don't do that on these types of shows, do they?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, do they?
He kissed her last night. I mean it.
Yeah, and they like up the ante by trying to do more with the guy.
Well, I'm sure that's, you know.
It's the same thing.
His plan.
It breaks the guy's heart, I'll tell you that.
But to be on a TV show where there are a bunch of contestants and to go, I'm jealous. You're dumb.
Yeah.
I know.
That's so stupid.
Those are the same people that fall in love in 3 days.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, it would be like you're on Jeopardy and you go, Alex, it's not fair, man. There are other people trying to buzz in. Come on. Anyway, I just, A, didn't know the show was still on, and B, was just shocked by how clueless these contestants were. I mean, clearly you had to know going on the show that that was the way it was run, right?
I would think so. I think they are getting the worst of the worst of the worst now, because we've gone through, like, kind of decent people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think they're running out of decent people. I think they have found out that the world's biggest losers are the draw.
That's true.
Through show after show after show, where they would try to get good people, and then they would have a bad person, and the bad person was all anyone cared about. So now they just cast for bad.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. In the world of Omarosa and Sanjaya, that's exactly. What people want.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, good times.
Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin Abean Show. It's Tuesday. It is the 10th of Poon.
I'm not really unfamiliar with the poll.
No, you're not. I don't know if you've been paying attention. Game number 3 of the NBA Finals happening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I'll tell you, if there's one thing we've learned, it's that anything can happen.
Funny thing about basketball, just when you think you have it all figured out, just when you think you know what to expect, something happens to change the game. And you suddenly realize anything can happen. It's a great time to get in on the action. Clippers season tickets.
What?
Available now. Visit clippers.com for details.
Yeah, anything can happen except seeing the Clippers play basketball in June. That can't happen.
How does somebody not go, it's the Lakers, they're in the finals. Let's not act like we're all that. Just for this moment. Maybe you could run them just after the NBA playoffs or something. But, I mean, they act like it's the same thing. You could watch the Lakers in the finals, of course. Or you could also watch the Clippers next season, the regular season. Pretty much the same thing. Anything can happen.
Yes, we're the LA Clippers. LA Clippers. LA Clippers number one.
And by number one, first team eliminated from playoff contention every year?
Yeah.
Or what do you mean?
It's a shame, too, because every team, no matter how crappy, has the hardcore fans. And the Clipper hardcore fans have been out there, and they just get screwed every year. They're mouthing off. They're all being all proud. They go to the games. I'm sure they have a couple of season ticket holders. You know, they go, they're in last place, they almost never get paid back for their loyalty.
It's rough.
Unless they just learn to enjoy the game, whether they win or lose. That's the only way to make that work, I guess. Hey, Omar just sent in the tape of Paul Pierce that we were looking for yesterday.
Oh, I love
if
that.
Mike can put his hands on that. I think you'll enjoy this very much. This is the player for the Boston Celtics who was raised in Inglewood. And he was a big Lakers fan growing up, and now they're talking to him about why he plays so well when he's playing Staples Center.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.? Some players don't play well when they go home. You do.
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
Okay. That's not edited at all.
No, what he said, right?
I heard that's what he said.
That is what
I heard it wasn't edited.
I'm saying that's not edited at all. I may have said that poor delivery.
It made it sound like you were sarcastic.
It's really not edited. And I don't know how he could say that and then not afterwards go, oh, that's not what I meant.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.? Some players don't play well when they go home. You do.
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
All right. He likes the balls in L.A.
And what does he mean by that? Because as we pointed out yesterday, it's regulation balls no matter where you play.
Yeah, I don't think he – I don't know. I mean, I don't know what a kind of a question it is to say when you go back to that city, why do you play well? I mean, there's no real answer to that. So maybe he's just trying to be funny or something. But he does like the balls in L.A.
Also not edited, by the way, Phil Jackson in the post game after game 2. Remember, the Lakers almost came back from 24 down in the fourth quarter. And I'm surprised a little bit by Phil's reaction to this question from a reporter after the game.
Phil, the momentum you guys gained towards the end, can you guys carry that over to game 3?
No.
I mean, that's what he said.
I'm pretty sure Phil Jackson fell asleep during that game last game.
You think?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Because anybody that watches any kind of basketball for any amount of time, when another team starts going crazy and they're on a roll and the fans are up and the momentum seems to not just be advancing but exploding, you call a timeout. That's what you do. That's always what you do.
To stop all that.
That's what every coach does.
Not almost Phil. Every coach.
Phil's a little tired. He's a little too tired to put both hands up in a tee for a timeout.
He was probably glad to have saved those timeouts, though, in that last minute, though. He was probably glad to have them. I'll tell you that.
I guess.
Not that he was able to use them as effectively as he hoped, but at least he had an opportunity to try.
But it would have been... Maybe it wouldn't have been such a hole to get out of.
Maybe.
I don't know. It just drives me crazy. He's always like that, isn't he, Mike?
That's his big deal.
He really won't.
He will allow his team to adapt and figure it out on their own. That's one of his biggest focal points in his coaching theory, is that he doesn't believe in immediately stopping the flow of a game if the team's going to go on a run. That he believes in his players and his theory and his philosophies, and they can figure it out and adapt on their own.
And sometimes that works, and then there's a lot of times it doesn't.
He is super nonchalant, though. I mean, the guy, sometimes he just seems so casual. I mean, for instance, after the game the other day, he couldn't get, like, Celtics players' names right and stuff. He just seems like he just doesn't really care.
He's barely paying attention.
And if, what's his name, Poe? How is he going to get so many fouls compared to our team?
Having said that, the guy's won, what, 9 titles?
Yeah, it's hard to argue with his record, but when you watch him during a game, you know, during the timeouts, he's just walking around talking to assistant coaches, and the players are doing all the talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Kobe clearly leads on the court. There's no question he's the one they look to for the motivation during the game. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly think that Phil Jackson uses games for rest. I think he needs to catch up on his sleep.
Kinda like Dave coming to K-Rock.
Kind of like the King of Mexico does here, yeah. Yeah. Stay out all night, play basketball.
The momentum you guys gained towards the end, can you guys carry that over to game 3?
No.
Well, game 3 is tonight at 6 o'clock, so please enjoy.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.? Some players don't play well when they go home. You do.
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
Okay. Balls. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Today we're going to talk about naked pictures ending up in the wrong hands.
That's what I'm talking about.
This really has been a constant problem, and people never get it.
Mm-mm.
And I'm glad. And it's really like it's got to be, you know, quadrupled, even more. It's got to be 100 times what it used to be, because you have a camera on your phone and can send
it
from your phone.
And somehow that makes it less, I don't know, less significant,
less risky,
really.
Maybe,
because you're so used to shooting things with your phone now.
Yep.
You just don't think about it the way you would with a camera.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And we're happy about that. But yeah, it is a surprise that people are so cavalier about it. But good work. Take those pictures. Send them.
I think my biggest surprise about this story is that it's an epidemic apparently in high schools now, with teenage girls sending their pictures to their boyfriends. And
I'd love to get a copy of that.
No, no, no. What I'm surprised about is that if I'm the boyfriend, I don't share that picture. I don't show off my naked girlfriend to all my friends. But apparently that's what's happening, and that's how they're getting out.
I think I do if I'm in high school.
Yeah.
Because girlfriend is a loose term.
I think I definitely
point.
Do. Okay. Dude, check this out.
It's not
about
love
some
forever.
Teenagers.
Okay. All right. Stop it. I don't know if you've heard, Ralph yesterday covered in his showbiz beat that Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth is being turned into an opera.
Wow.
An opera.
I didn't see that coming, I gotta tell you.
I've been surprised every step of the way. First of all, it's a slideshow, right? Am I correct on that?
It's a movie.
Yes, it is.
It's a movie about a slideshow.
That's right.
So right there you go. Okay, recipe for failure. Huge hit.
There's also a book, of course.
There's a book, yes, yeah.
So nope. They managed to maximize some dollars out of that.
Nobel Peace Prize. No, was it Peace Prize?
He won the Nobel. I think it was the Nobel Peace Prize. I think
he
it was.
Won a Nobel Prize, and now it's going to be an opera. So, good time.
Movie won an Oscar, too.
Yep. Movie won an Oscar, sure. We have to deal with the cats in the parking lot here at K-Rock. They are getting all thugged out. They really... They're feral cats, so they're wild. They're not domesticated.
Yeah.
And it used to be they would run from you when you came into the parking lot with your gigantic car. You know, to them, anything is gigantic. And now they just sit there and look at you and go, so?
Yeah.
What? I'm not moving, you move.
Yeah, exactly.
They're getting a little more bold. And
I've got the idea, by the way, which is, and I just thought of this yesterday, we need to hire a team of midgets to catch the cats. Because how fun would that be to watch?
It might not be effective, but it would be fun.
Very.
It'd be awesome. Like, we could pay them like $5 for every cat they catch or something like that.
I'm in, dude.
You know me and midgets, the midgets, man. They're up for anything.
Also on today's show, we are going to talk to some dude about alternative fuel cars. Tina's been obsessed about this for the last couple of days.
Well, it's just that I had a conversation with a friend the other day about how more and more people are looking into converting their gasoline engines into vegetable oil. And I don't know very much about that, but with vegetable oil only being $2.50 a gallon and regular gas being $4-something a gallon, it seems like it might be worth looking into. And I just don't know the practicality of doing that. I mean, how difficult is it to run your car on vegetable oil? How hard is it to get the stuff, and what's it like to drive one? And I think that's probably, you know, people are looking for any new idea right now to save some money at the pump. So let's find out about it.
Internet Roundup today. I have a new round of that. Bean's blog today.
Oh, we're not going to have probably time for that.
Ralph did a bunch of interviews at the Erotica LA, and we're going to give you some highlights of that coming up just after 6 o'clock if you didn't hear it real late in yesterday's show. And don't forget K-Rock's Road Trip USA, stop number 2. We're talking about your chance to win tickets to see Linkin Park. They are going to be playing the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on August 10th. Every hour you could win those tickets, and every hour you could win a key that could start a brand new VW Tiguan, a new car.
Nice.
And then at 8 and noon and 4 and 8, you also get a trip to Boston thrown in to see the show kick off there.
Yeah.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat now.
Wasn't it, I want to say it was Pennywise at the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta this year who pulled out that song, did the Blitzkrieg Bop for the Ramones?
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah,
I thought it was. They did a very nice job with that. That's not the hardest song in the world to cover, but they did a nice job with it anyway. It's 5:53.
Man, it's just a kiss and a slap with Bean, isn't it?
It always is.
It gives you confidence
and
then just zings you right in the back end. Oh, yeah, they covered it. Not very, very hard to do, is it? But, yeah, they did it.
Anyone can do it, but it was good.
I'm saying it's hardly Knights of Cydonia or something that requires, you know, a great deal of instrumentation. It's pretty simple. I mean,
I want you to perform it tomorrow.
I do, too.
Why don't you
do
it on the, you are doing it then.
Do it on the theremin.
I'm not in a band for 20 years like Pennywise is. I'm saying they did a nice job with it.
Not so easy, is it, for you?
Wednesday morning, Bean does Blitzkrieg.
Okay, good.
To hear it.
It's 5:53.
And theremin.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Lindsay Lohan's a whore.
Yeah. Now why?
Brandon Brown, the son of R&B singer Bobby Brown, tells the British tabloid The London Sun that he once hooked up with Lindsay in a bathroom.
Yeah. But Lindsay Lohan is a fire crotch. And she has freckles coming out of her and her is 7 feet long.
Pretty wow, big. 7 feet.
Bigger than usual.
I think she'd trip over it.
Yeah.
Brandon claims the two got together after she followed him into the bathroom at a private party. Brandon said they had a good time.
They're tight.
They were very, very close. And he would like to continue the relationship, but apparently he's having a tough time getting in touch with her. She's like a dude. Just bangs you and then you never never get on the phone again.
Perfect scenario, right?
Probably doesn't remember.
How old is Bobby Brown's kid? Is this a kid with Whitney, or is this a previous relationship?
He's got kids
Let me look at my my pocket-sized Bobby Brown family tree here. Let me see. I don't know!
Okay.
How old is Bobby Brown? Where does he go to school? What type of vehicle does he drive?
I just wondered if this is like a 17-year-old or something like that, or if this is some previous marriage Bobby Brown kid that's like 28. I just wondered. Back to you, Ralph.
You wonder on your own goddamn time.
I have a lot of grouchy today, dude.
I'm a curious person.
What's going on?
You're curious, George.
This movie is going to drive him out of his mind. He's going to end up road rage.
This is a bad idea. Yes, I will end up road rage.
Ing.
Kelly Osbourne has a new gig. She is the advice columnist of the London Sun.
Okay.
That girl's fat.
Apparently, she will write a new column where she doles out words of wisdom to teens in trouble.
Fatty.
Kelly promises that no subject will be off limits, and she's prepared for anything.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
Mistake.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
Are you prepared for people to write and say, what are you doing writing an advice column?
Yeah, no kidding.
It'd be the first, second, third, and fourth questions.
What has she accomplished?
Fat.
She had one horrible song.
Yeah.
She had one aborted attempt at stage work with Chicago, and she eats a lot. What is she going to give you advice on?
Fatty.
Maybe people who are dying to gain weight. They don't know how.
The answer to every question will be pick rich parents. Chris Angel got on the wrong side of a bull a few weeks back.
What? I'm not sure what that means, but I like the sound of it.
According to Vegas Confidential, he was shooting a video for his new show at the Luxor, and he got stuck between a one-ton bull and a fence.
Ooh.
Sadly, he walked away with only a bruise under his eye, but...
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
We were right there. We were this close. The bull had done the right thing.
Yeah.
But no, no, not Mr. Bull. You're too good to kill Chris Angel. Penelope Cruz had to kiss Scarlett Johansson for a scene in their new movie, Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Okay. When does that come out?
Soon.
All right.
It's the new Woody Allen flick. Scarlett and Penelope had to mac, but Penelope Cruz says it was no big deal. She says the only thing she really remembers about the scene was that it was one of the most crowded sets she'd ever seen.
You think?
Due to the number of extra workers who reported for duty on the day that it was filmed.
Hmm. That'd be sweet.
Surprise, surprise. And Ryan Seacrest has now made it, I guess, a personal goal to flood the airwaves with the worst possible reality television he can come up with.
He's kind of in charge of bringing shows to E, right?
He is, but now he's got a show for MTV.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Yeah. Which sounds no better than his horrible Denise Richards or Dina Lohan shows. It stars Brody Jenner.
Oh, my God.
The show will be called Bromance.
Yes, it will.
The premise of the show will have Brody auditioning a group of guys to become his new best friend.
Shut up!
What?
This on the heels of the new Paris Hilton reality show, where she auditions a bunch of girls to become her new best friend.
Okay.
How hard up are Brody Jenner and Paris Hilton for friends, by the way? Yeah, Bromance is the name of it. Ryan Seacrest tells Variety newspaper, "I can speak from experience. Girls can come and go, but a bromance can last forever."
Okay.
I mean, there's some inherent interest in who celebrities date. There's some payoff at the end of a show if a couple ends up together. But who cares whether a guy's friends with another guy or a girl's friends with another girl? What's my investment in that?
And by bromance, Ryan Seacrest, of course, means fellatio and anal sex.
Oh! No! That's it!
You remember who Brody Jenner's original BFF was?
I don't.
Spencer Pratt. That's how we got introduced to the world.
Back in the old school days.
That was his best friend slash manager.
Gay what?
Oh.
Well, he can't top Spencer. I don't know what he's going to do. Everything else is going to be a letdown.
And finally, the movie we've been waiting for, Columbia Pictures, has announced that a live-action Smurfs movie is in the works.
I'm sorry, I thought you said live action and Smurf.
I did indeed say all three of those words. Apparently it's being put together by the guy who wrote the second and third installments of the Shrek franchise, so it's kind of hard to turn up your nose at that pedigree. But it's still the freaking Smurfs in a live action movie.
What do the Smurfs do, Ralph? Forgive me.
Smurfs live in Smurfland, Bean. Where they go smurfing about.
Do they have superpowers or anything?
No, they just smurf all day.
Do they have an enemy that they
have an enemy. They have Gargamel. Gargamel, they have to... Gargamel is constantly trying to bring down the Smurfs. He is just smurfing miserable, this guy.
Wow.
And he's got a cat named Azrael. And that cat is bad news.
Why is he trying to bring down the Smurfs? What is it they do that upsets him?
Smurf.
Now you're just funning me, right?
Yeah. I don't know anything about the Smurfs.
Now you're just ribbing me. Well, get a tutorial.
Can I
pick up Smurfs for Dummies and okay. leaf through it? But I only got a couple minutes here, so I got
to
move along.
I need to read one comment from Mr. Rad.
Mr. Rad, Dave the King of Mexico.
Yes. Hells yeah! I just got season one on DVD last week! Exclamation point.
So there's your audience for the Smurfs movie, I guess.
Gay what?
Go smurf yourself, Dave. The thing about the Smurfs, they said smurf about everything.
Oh, I thought you were just being funny.
That's how they talk.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear God.
This is smurfing excellent. Let's go. This is very smurfy. You're the smurfiest.
And that doesn't get tiring quickly?
No, no. But Kevin would like it because they do paint their faces blue.
Oh.
Or red.
Like the Red Man Group.
Depending on who you are. Speaking of DVDs, it is Tuesday. That means new DVDs are available for your purchase. The Bucket List is out on DVD. If you missed that Morgan Freeman, Jack Nicholson film. The Other Boleyn Girl, also available on DVD. Witless Protection. Larry the Cable Guy's tour de force.
You probably ordered an advance copy
of that. I got a case of them in case any of them wear out while I'm watching them.
And Jumper, by the way, is also on DVD. You can just pass by Jumper.
That's the one where the dude jumps from different times to different times and Samuel Jackson tries to kill him or something?
It's place to place, but pretty much the same thing.
Oh, I thought it was time.
No,
okay.
Place. You can go anywhere place-wise in the world.
The tube of history. Right?
Either way, it's
tube
bad.
Tube of history until you get there.
It's trying to kill the Smurfs.
Bad. However, you know, it's not bad on DVD today is the John Adams HBO miniseries.
Now we're talking.
If you didn't get a chance to catch it on HBO, you can pick it up on DVD, and I recommend it highly.
Kevin.
Really enjoyed that.
Sounds bad.
It's
so good.
Awesome.
Boring.
Guys, Kevin won't like it. He does not have the patience for a show like that.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think.
Today's celebrity birthday, Shane West from ER and Now and Again. He is 30 years old today. Model actress Elizabeth Hurley turns 43. My buddy Katie Flannery, who plays Meredith on The Office, turns 44 years old today. Jimmy Chamberlain from Smashing Pumpkins, the drummer for that band, as well as Zwan. He is 44 years old today. And Gina Gershon.
Ooh, yeah.
Who apparently loves her some Bill Clinton. Oop. Sorry, don't sue me. She's 46 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So it's nice that you win a new car and all, but then you have to drive it to Boston to see Linkin Park? I mean, what is the... it just seems unfair a little
K-Rock bit. Road Trip USA, stop number two, is every hour you get tickets to see the Project Revolution Tour when it comes to the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater August 10th. You also get a key that could start a brand new VW Tiguan,
right.
And at 8, noon, 4, and 8, you win a seat on the K-Rock party plane to Boston.
Oh, I get it now.
As so well. They're all
different and they're all great.
Yes.
I got you.
Wow.
Okay. Because no one wants to put, 5,000 miles round trip on a brand new car. That's all I'm saying.
Just you know
to
what
make
that would
sense
cost?
Yeah.
These days, yeah. More than a car.
6:29 on the Kevin and Bean Show, Tuesday morning. Time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about?
Well, I think they're talking about high school pranks. The conversation we had yesterday, okay. But I'm not really sure because there's no reference other than the sound.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I think we've all done this. I've probably done it more than the next guy. But this is a dude who was celebrating pretty hard over the weekend and lost track of what day it was.
Okay, so I take Friday off, and then I drink all Friday and Saturday, and I wake up hungover, and I think I've already had 2 days off, so I drive to work on Sunday, thinking it's Monday.
Oh.
I'm such a loser.
That sucks.
I think everyone at one time or another has gotten up and started to get ready for work or school and then realized it was a weekend. But rarely do you go so far as to get in the car and actually drive down there.
That guy went all the way there.
Yeah.
Good times.
Wondering where all the traffic was.
Our intern Beer Mug is a commercial genius. And he just recorded a commercial for Erotica LA that was a made-up character, and I think it's going to go places.
Hi, this is Kim Kapilski, and I'm here today with Joanna Angel, superstar from Burning Angel.
Hey, thanks.
I understand you'll be welcoming all your fans and signing autographs again this year at Erotica LA.
I love Erotica LA. It's a once-a-year event where all the adult entertainment stars converge with their fans and then just let it all hang out.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
Okay. All right, so that's what this call's about.
I'm Kim Kapilski. I'm a raging homosexual and alcoholic. Beatard.
Yesterday we had a strange conversation about Bean's inability to consider people who live in India part of Asia.
Get me started on this again.
Hey, guys. I hate Bean as much as the next guy, but, yeah, he's right about the whole Asia-India thing. I mean, yeah, technically it's a part of Asia, but, I mean, come on. Mike technically, married, but he's still gay.
Got a good point.
I didn't think about it when you put it that way. I mean, is it part of the continent of Asia? Yes. Is there anyone in India who considers himself Asian? No.
End of story.
Wait a minute. There's
no.
Either it is or it isn't. This is not an opinion thing.
It's the subcontinent. I'm telling you, they're not.
All right, let me ask you this, Bean. If I didn't consider the United States part of North America, would that make it not part of North America? No.
But it is part of North America.
Right, as is
India.
India
is not part of
Asia.
Not really.
Yes,
it is
really.
Or it isn't.
No,
there's no really about.
You're the map guy, either, by the
way. I disagree.
He's the guy obsessed with maps.
Yes.
Either it is or it isn't. It's either black or white. There's no possible way that's a maybe.
And you know where we got this from? Cal Penn, who was going to some sort of conference about Asia. And we were confused, and he schooled us.
That's right.
He was wrong.
Yeah.
He was wrong.
He's wrong.
He was wrong.
Oh, you're taking your advice now from Kumar. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yes.
girl lives in the cabin, and being called a foreign country, when they heard a funny story from that foreign country, and they wanted to see if anyone knew about it. And I liked it. I hope the girls didn't mind it.
Okay.
Don't know
what was the name of that Christmas poo on South Park?
Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hanky, that's who that was. Thank you for calling Mr. Hanky.
Pam Anderson? Pam Anderson?
That's not bad.
Not sure exactly what that was. This I resent and F you to die.
Lakers! Lakers! Lakers!
2-0 is not the end of the series, people.
That's right, man.
Get over it.
F*** Boston. F*** everything. Ring all the Irish bars. F*** Shamrock. F*** Celtics. F*** everything that has to do with Boston, period. Massachusetts, everybody.
Wow. Maybe the Paul Pierce interview will cheer you up, sir. This is the game post-game interview after game two, and they were starting to talk to him about coming back to Los Angeles and playing basketball here.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.?
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
All right. Tells you all you need to know.
Michael J. Fox's birthday. Celebrating it at, that's right, Shakey's Pizza.
Absolutely.
See?
No other choice.
Ralph was gone on vacation or moving or something, and Bean and I did the showbiz, and it occurred to us that we had forgotten to mention Jennifer's Body, which is a new movie that's coming out, apparently starring Megan Fox.
Yes.
I don't know how we missed this, but thanks to the caller.
Kevin and Bean! Kevin and Bean! Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Kevin and Bean! You are never going to believe this, Kevin and Bean! Oh, my God, I wanted to be the first to tell you. You know how hot Megan Fox is? I just saw online pictures of her boobies. She's in a movie called Jennifer's Body, Kevin and Bean, where she is naked.
Okay, I gotta go.
Good enthusiasm, by the way. A little crocodile hunter in his delivery.
That's quite a delivery. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to be playing the part of the audience here because I, this is Bean speaking. I am not in the K-Rock building with everybody else. So I know as little about these cats in the parking lot as the listeners who are tuned in right now. What's the situation with the cats? How bad is it?
I didn't know anything about feral cats before because I was never a cat person, never around that many cats. But feral cats apparently are just wild cats that no one, they're not the pet of anyone.
Yeah.
Right.
They're on their own. They play by their own rules.
And they're very hard to domesticate once they are feral cats, once they've been in the wild.
So there have been some in the parking lot here at K-Rock, and you pull in and you see them scatter. And then, you know, it gets a little weird. A couple of months later, you pull in and you see like twice as many scatter. And then you see like 500 scatter when you pull into the parking lot.
It's creepy.
Well, that's the thing about any kind of wild animal is there's no such thing as birth control. There's nobody snipping them. So they tend to reproduce a lot.
So it's been a huge problem here at K-Rock. And what happens is Scott Mason, who is the, quote, operations manager. None of us know what that means. We found out kind of behind the scenes by talking to the security guard that he was feeding them. He would bring cat food every day.
Oh, my God. That's inviting them to stay.
Yes, exactly. And I know Scott, so I know he meant well, but clearly not helping the cause at all. So emails have gone around for the past, I don't know, year and a half. And now the cats are getting much more bold. Mm-hmm. There'll be one cat standing in your way as a vehicle, you know, your car, and it'll just sit there and look at you like, why don't you go around?
And then you do.
They're not scared at all anymore. They're getting very bold. And
so
we're trying.
They're not on your property anymore. You're on their property.
That's correct. They own it. They run it. And we are an annoyance and a nuisance. And something needs to be done. And I'm not exactly sure what. They put Scott Mason in charge of doing something. Seems like maybe that's the one guy that shouldn't be in charge of doing something, considering he's feeding them.
We had something set up a while back that he blocked.
Yes.
Oh.
In favor of doing nothing.
Yes, exactly.
By the way, this reminds me, when President Bush was looking for a vice president back when he was running for president in 1999, he put Dick Cheney in charge of finding him a vice president. That's how that works.
That's how it works. Yeah. So yesterday I come in, and Psycho Mike has a white truck, and I'm not kidding you, covered with cats. They were walking on the roof and walking on the hood and in the bed, and they were just like,
getting in there playing with the radio.
And I rolled down my window, and the cat said, "What?" I was like, all right, dude, hey, have it your way. So we figured we would try and line up some help. And Alex, our producer, I'm not exactly sure how, has gotten us somebody on the phone. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hi. Who's this?
My name's Tony.
Tony. Hi, how are you today?
Good. Tony, how you doing?
Very good.
Well, we're fine, but we're unclear. We asked our producer to line up somebody to help us get rid of the cats in the parking lot. Can you do that for us?
No, I don't think that's such a good idea. I don't want to talk about it.
Right?
What are you talking about?
I don't think you're going to get rid of the cats.
But that's what we were asking. We wanted to figure out a way to move the cats maybe someplace where they can be safer and it would be better for the people who work at K-Rock.
Well, I think you better reconsider that because I think you might get moved.
Uh-oh. You're not a cat. You're not the cat, are you?
I'm the head cat.
Oh,
that explains it. Okay.
That explains your attitude.
Wow.
My attitude. How about your attitude?
Well, I'm just saying, remember the good old...
your attitude is more of a problem.
But remember the good old days when you used to scatter when we pulled in?
Yeah, those days are over.
Yeah.
What happened?
We got organized.
Oh, no.
Really?
That's right. There's power in numbers.
How do wild cats organize?
Well, one guy takes over and he's the boss.
I see.
I got a few captains. And now we're running the neighborhood.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's a turf war now, and now you own this territory.
No, there's no war. There's no war, because you're finished.
Oh, I see.
This is our neighborhood now.
But that's...
And you need to give us a little taste. Because I know K-Rock, you do pretty well for yourselves there.
Yeah.
So if you don't want bad things to accidentally happen... I think maybe we should get a little taste of what's going on.
Tony, if you don't mind, that is our parking lot.
It was your parking lot.
For our radio station.
It was your parking lot.
Okay.
Now it's our parking lot. You want to park your car there? We got to get a little taste.
That doesn't seem...
A little taste. What is that? What do you
want? All right, this is what I want you to do. You get some tender vittles.
Okay.
You put them in an unmarked paper bag.
Okay.
I want you to come alone.
All right.
To the dumpster over by the back of the building.
To the dumpster, okay.
You drop off the bag of tender vittles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk away. Quickly. And then everything will be all right.
And that'll buy us peace for how long, would you guess?
So we run out of tender vittles.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's
meow
what it is.
Mix will work, whisker lickings, anything you got.
All okay. Right, so flexible. That's good.
Otherwise, some cat might accidentally pee in the air conditioning vent of your car.
Oh, you okay. Know where that is?
Yeah, I know where that is.
That's very bad.
I know
bad.
Where it is.
No.
That's very
and the
bad.
Next thing you know, come summertime, you turn up that air conditioner when it's nice and hot outside.
Yeah.
Get a nice blast of cat pee smell.
Yeah. Wow.
That's so good. You got to sell that car.
You can't get that out.
Listen, can't we just give you Scott Mason as a trade and just you guys can go off and live someplace else, just all
what
of you with Scott?
What the hell am I going to do with Scott Mason?
I don't
what
care.
What am I
really?
Doing with the hair and the 19 beepers?
Well, he's the guy that's been feeding you. I would think you would be happy with him.
That's not enough anymore. We're not taking charity anymore. We're taking what we want.
Oh, man.
You understand me?
Yeah, I mean, we do, but it's odd that, yes, we understand.
You want to end up like my lieutenant who I just had whacked?
You had your lieutenant whacked?
That's right.
What did he do?
Because he was talking to you people about how to get rid of us.
Oh,
so I said to him, I said, listen, big pussy. I got no room for rats. Unless I'm eating a rat.
Right.
I'm a cat,
like
and
rats,
we like to eat rats.
You do enjoy sure. Rats, yes.
That's right.
So if
you threw him off a boat?
That's right. It threw him off a boat. He's finished now.
Oh, no. Don't
big
play
pussy
this.
Big pussy sleeps with the fishes.
Don't play this song.
Which is not bad if you like fish, and I do.
It's your cat.
That's not a bad place to sleep.
That wouldn't
you eat
too bad.
The fishes while you're sleeping with
sure.
Them.
Wow. Well, I sure hope that when we don't give you the tender vittles, you don't hurt my banana mobile.
A banana, but is that yours?
I sure hope you
that
don't.
That almost ran me over the other day.
Sure hope you don't pee on my yellow car.
I'm going to take care of you as
all
soon
right.
As my wife and family show up here. Wait, I got about 17 wives. I'm going to wait for them to show up, and then we're going to take care of you.
Where are you exactly?
I'm out in the parking lot. Where do you think I am?
Well, where are you getting the music from?
My boombox.
Okay, all right.
Hey, what's that ASPA truck doing here?
Nothing.
Hey, wait, what do you got? What are those nets all about?
Nothing.
Hey, what is the tranquilizer dots all about?
Just don't.
Uh-oh.
This is ridiculous.
Don't worry about it.
You know what I think?
What? Something happened to our TiVo? What happened?
TiVo.
I was trying to play along. Should I have gotten out?
That?
Should I have gotten out before now? All right, go. It is 6:55 now. Time for the Ralph Show Biz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
It's all about BFFs.
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 Okay. What's all about that?
Paris Hilton has a new reality show. It's called Paris's New BFF, where you have to compete to be her new best friend.
I didn't know that's how it worked.
When you're a celebrity.
To get a friend, you have to get a reality show, and that's how you find your friends.
I've never had
just like true love.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
I guess so.
Also, just announced in Variety today, MTV is committed to airing a series by producer Ryan Seacrest, starring Brody Jenner, called Bromance,
yes.
Where Brody Jenner will have a bunch of guys competing to become his new bro, his new best friend.
And this is that kid that we didn't care about on Laguna Beach, and now we don't care about him on Bromance?
Right.
Okay.
Producer Ryan Seacrest tells Variety, I can speak from experience. Girls can come and go, but a bromance can last forever.
Yes, yes. He can.
I like sticking with the dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. Yes.
His head is in between my legs.
Oh, wow.
And Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Doo-Wah Diddy Combs has announced that he is giving away his top 20 friend spots on his MySpace page.
What's happening?
Contestants need to compete via his website to be part of his inner circle, and you will earn a place in his top 20 friend spots on MySpace.
Diddy! Diddy! I watched you pee on the internet!
Diddy says it's quite an honor considering he has over 1 million friends on his page.
That is. That's an honor to be one of you'll 1 million.
But you'll be in the top 20. You'll be above all.
You don't know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no proactive. So Diddy wore proactive. Now, y'all in the skincare products. Now y'all think it's official.
Now!
Be in his top 20.
Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, apparently, she needs to be a little more discreet when she comes to choosing who she's going to be banging. Landon Brown, the son of R&B singer Bobby Brown. By the way, Landon is 22 years old. The product of his first relationship.
Okay.
He's got four children. Landon is the first by some broad. Then he's got two by that Kim broad.
Yeah.
And then he's got one by Whitney Houston. So Landon's
I'm surprised he only has four.
Landon is the one who was competing on Rock the Cradle on MTV.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. He says to the London Sun tabloid that he once banged Lindsay Lohan in a bathroom.
Who didn't, apparently?
She followed him into the bathroom at a private party, he claims.
All right.
They were very, very close, in quotes, had a good time, and he would like to continue the relationship, but apparently he's having a hard time getting in touch with her. Apparently she keistered her cell phone and can't answer it.
You can't expect Lindsay to stay in touch with everyone she bangs. Come on.
Talk about MySpace friends. She's got 1 million Bangspace friends.
Is that a place?
Bangspace?
Yeah.
Lindsay! Lindsay! Lindsay Lohan!
Thank God we sent Psycho Mike to do those interviews.
Yep. Every interview has a similar theme to it.
It does, doesn't it?
And Chuck Berry has asked John McCain to stop using Johnny B. Goode at his campaign rallies.
That's the second time, right?
These candidates can never get a song that people approve of. It's hilarious.
Chuck Berry's rock and roll anthem, Johnny B. Goode, probably the most famous early rock song ever, was being played at early campaign rallies. But the 80-year-old rock and roll legend told John McCain to cut it out because he's backing Barack Obama.
Did John McCain come out dancing to that song, or how did he work that in exactly?
I think he did the duck walk. He did the duck walk across the stage, playing air guitar. That's how he would come out. Chuck Berry added, I'm the only dude older than John McCain, so he has to do what I say. Chuck, by the way, is kicking off a summer tour in Brazil next week.
No way.
At 80 years old.
Really?
He is. Yeah. He's still got it.
He can still do it?
Word is that McCain is now using ABBA's Take a Chance on Me as his campaign song.
Because they don't live here?
We're all just waiting for ABBA to say, hey, cut it out. So there you go. There's your political update.
Like a very optimistic song. That's almost like, come on, give it a try. It could be worse.
Else, take a chance on me.
It may not go well, but let's
at least
roll
I'm
the
not
dice.
Black. Take a chance on me. Today's celebrity birthday is Gina Gershon.
Oh.
46 years old today. She's a 46.
Yeah.
That's a 46 right there.
That is a good 46.
Another beautiful older woman, Jeannie Triplehorn, who's on the show Big Love over there on HBO. She is 45 years old today. Drummer Jimmy Chamberlain from Smashing Pumpkins turns 44. Actress Katie Flannery, who plays Meredith on The Office, turns 44 as well. Model actress Elizabeth Hurley turns 43. And actor Shane West from ER and Now and Again, he is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Each hour, you can win tickets to Project Revolution, which is coming to the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater August 10th. You also get a key that could start a brand new car.
Nice.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah.
It's a VW Tiguan.
Tiguan.
And also at 8, noon, 4, and 8, you will also win a trip to Boston to see Project Revolution. I believe it's their opening date of the tour.
Very cool.
And Project Revolution, by the way, is the festival that Linkin Park puts on every year. They always headline it, and they always pick some nice bands for you to see ahead of them, including, I think, Chris Cornell is out this year. Yep. The Bravery's out this year. Hawthorne Heights. Isn't, I remember from your interview from the press conference, is Busta Rhymes on the bill, too?
Yep. Yes,
damn.
He is.
All right. So congratulations to Eric Nielsen from Murrieta. He is the latest winner here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance coming up this hour right here on good old K-Rock.
Here's an alarming news report that I'm happy to hear.
Parents of Parkland High School students got an education when they learned several dozen students at the school were distributing what investigators are calling child pornography via cell phone.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know it was child pornography. As long as they're over 18 is what I mean.
As the father of two young daughters, soon to be teenagers, yes. Is there going to come a time when you talk to them about what happens to naked photos that you take on your cell phone? Is that going to be a conversation you're going to be forced to have?
Yes, but not now.
School officials say two female students and a boy, all underage, were shown either alone or engaged in sex acts and then sending the material to dozens of other students.
Thank God.
Have you seen this at all?
Yeah.
What does it show, basically?
Like everything.
Well, I mean, Lisa brought up a great point earlier, which is that it has never been easier in the history of humanity to take a photo and send it to somebody. I mean, it used to require a little bit of effort.
Sure.
And now you've got a device in your pants that you can snap a picture and send it in seconds. And it's kind of out of your hands at that point. You may think if you're the young woman, and in some cases it's the young man, but usually it seems like the girls are the ones doing it because they're the ones who are being asked to do it. It seems like, oh, I'll send it to this guy and that'll be the end of it. It'll just be a little private thing between us. But what ends up happening, ask Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical, is that somehow it ends up on the internet and you can't take it back.
How about some teenagers?
But we're talking, Rodney.
The part that we like is the girls that are over 18 is what we mean.
Yes.
But you do have to be kind of stupid in the age of the internet to think this picture is only going to go to my boyfriend. Nothing else could happen.
You break up with your boyfriend. Boom.
That's
that picture's everywhere.
Yeah.
Look at all those websites like exgirlfriends.com. I mean, there's a whole cottage industry out there of naked pictures that at one time were consensual between a couple, and now sure. They're not.
Pretty little face.
All right. Stop it.
Rodney.
You're grossing us all out.
I mean, Vanessa Hudgens is one example. That came back to bite her in the ass, and a fine ass it was, by the way. Although they weren't naked pictures, Miley Cyrus had that controversy. I'm not talking about the Vanity Fair one. I'm talking about the one a few months ago where she had some pictures where she was goofing around with her friends, and she was, like, pulling up her shirt and stuff like that. Those pictures were very embarrassing for her.
Kiss, bang, 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 bang.
Stomp it.
She thought that they were just private little fun pictures. Pete Wentz, of course, and Fred Durst both ended up with their penises all over the internet as a result of some careless cell phone usage.
Thank God.
Jeez, Rodney. So the topic on the table this morning is, as you might expect, your naked photos that maybe ended up someplace where they weren't supposed to.
And
that's what we're looking for.
And really, are we that stupid? I mean, let's be honest. That's going to happen. Don't you know that going in?
I think because it's so easy to do, you don't even think about it. Plus, if we're talking teenagers, they don't think about consequences.
No, but I'm saying if you're a teenager, you know MySpace, you know the internet, you know YouTube. You've seen this happen to hundreds and thousands of other people. How is it not going to happen to you?
Maybe you don't care.
That's fine. I hope that's the case.
But isn't that true of hundreds of different behaviors? People make the same mistakes all the time. Look, everyone who's ever been popped for drunk driving knows that thousands of other people were popped for drunk driving. But at the time, they're not thinking of the big picture. They're not thinking I'm just going to be the latest statistic. They're thinking, I'm fine and I can get away with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same mindset here, which is just, I'm just sending this to Bobby. Right. It's between me and him.
You're sending something to Bobby?
Just an example.
I'm just saying.
So here's the thing. It doesn't necessarily have to just be on your cell phone, although that does seem like the way that's easiest to just snap and send.
Sure.
We've done this topic before where your email with photos got to the wrong person. You replied to all. You sent it to the parents or the parents picked it up. Or really, the parents is the worst case scenario,
that's
isn't it?
Where you never want it to go.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to accidentally have them see it.
You end up in private school after that.
Yeah. That doesn't go well.
This nude picture story, though, that just came out yesterday, it talks about examples in Colorado, New Jersey, New York, Alabama, Utah, Pennsylvania, Texas, Connecticut. It used to be that kids would make mistakes. It was local and singular. Chandler, and everyone knew it was part of growing up, says a PTA co-president in Westport, Connecticut. She had a frank talk with her sons after several students' nude self-portraits recently spread through the New York bedroom community. Now a stupid adolescent mistake can take on major implications and go on the record for the rest of their lives.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
how Rodney got invited to this conversation.
But. Your naked pictures got into the wrong hands. 1-800-520-1067.
This could be the night.
Okay. We will take a quick break and come back with your phone calls.
Now, we're not saying don't take naked pictures, though, are we? I mean, that can't be the message that this show is giving out.
Okay. No, this is take naked pictures, but not if you're ugly.
No.
That's what this is. I think the point is don't let them get into the
right.
wrong hands.
That's what I mean.
That's what the point is. 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about what the news will have you believe is an epidemic of teenagers taking pictures and then them ending up in the wrong place. And
it's apparently
very serious. So we're taking your calls right now. Why don't we start with Stacy in Gardena. He's on line 3 here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Stacy, thanks for hanging on. What's your deal?
Oh, hey, I thought she was asking me her name.
What? Oh, your girlfriend's name was Stacy.
Okay.
My name is Pedro. Okay, so one night we just decided to fool around, right?
Mm-hmm.
She tells me, hey, why don't you take some pictures of me? I'm like, okay, I'll take some pictures. She gives me her cell phone. I take naked pictures of her and one of her, pleasuring me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She uploads them into her computer.
Yes.
She gets a brand new computer a week later, gives that computer to her uncle.
Oh!
And apparently she didn't know how to completely delete them, so he saw every single picture.
Excellent.
How about that?
Creepy.
Excellent. Her uncle.
Ew.
Now, did he tell his brother?
Hope not.
Oh, man. Good times. Yeah, that's
you
what you want to do.
If he did.
That's what you want to do. Is you want to
see my face, so they didn't know who it was.
Oh, that's awesome. Really? Your face wasn't in it?
That's
the best.
Sure. Yeah, we got you. Okay.
Understand.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Corrine on line 7. She's in Culver City this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Corrine. Welcome. What's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Lisa May?
Good morning. What happened?
So what happened to you?
When I used to be in high school, I was going out with this guy, and I thought that everything was cool and stuff like that. And, like, one day he needed, to perform something. Right. I'm like, okay, it was, like, good enough in our relationship to go that far. But little did I know.
Hey, Corrine, your phone is cutting in and out.
Oh, hello?
Just like your boyfriend.
Your phone is cutting in and out. So get right to the part what he did with him.
Okay, I went downstairs on him, and he took pictures of me doing that, and right. I didn't even know. And a couple of weeks later, everybody has this picture on their cell phone.
Everybody in the high school, he sent it to everybody?
All my friends, because we hung out with the same people.
Nice.
Oh,
so
dude.
All the friends right there had that picture, or they had already seen it. And I'm 4 years out of high school, and I'm still hearing about that picture.
Oh, my God.
You're still that girl. Hey, did your parents ever hear about it?
No, thank God. It was worse
until today, right?
Reputation I had with everybody knowing, and I had really distinctive hair, so I couldn't deny that it wasn't me.
Right?
I had really weird hair, so
pretty crunchy, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought. All right, Corrine, thank you for the call. Hey guys, the email begins from Mike. Heard you were doing a segment on this topic. I have to share my story with you. I had a girlfriend in high school who gave me naked photos. Then she cheated on me. We broke up, so my buddies and I printed the photos with her name and phone number on them and distributed them around to various high schools during football games. I love telling that story. Ha ha. Longtime K-Rock listener, Mike Manhattan Beach.
Gotta check that out.
All right. Let's go to Kara in La Mirada. Good morning, Kara.
Hello.
Your pictures got into the wrong hands?
Yeah, my first boyfriend had me take pictures and videos on my phone. So my friends ended up stealing my phone, and they saw the pictures. They had to double-check because it didn't show my face, but apparently I have a hot body, and they keep ragging on me about that still.
They keep ragging on you about having a hot body?
They're like, oh, my God. And, half of them are gay, so they're, making fun of me all the time.
it's pretty hard to know what we're talking about without looking.
You know, you'd like to see some.
I'm just saying. She says, "Hot body." I don't know. I'm just saying. You can't trust people these days. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
As long as she's
you're hoping she hasn't learned her lesson about sending photos where they're not supposed to be sent, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Kara.
It's probably a pretty good bet.
Let's go to Karen, who is calling from Anaheim. Hi, Karen.
Hi, good morning.
Pictures
morning.
Got in the wrong hands. Who did it?
It was my boyfriend's sister. I was living there at the time, mm-hmm. and my boyfriend and I just happened to take, you know, Polaroid pictures, right. and he was a big guy, and, you know, but we were just, like, just into it, you know, and lo and behold, she's supposedly putting away laundry in his drawers, and she busts out the pictures.
She found
And not only that, but she showed his parents.
What?
Oh,
and like
ouch.
I said, I was living there at the time, so it was just so shameful. It was just unbelievable.
Kind of embarrassing, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
She showed
Did they
her parents.
Ask you to move out or anything? I mean, what was the consequence of it?
I was just embarrassed forever.
Did the dad high five his son every day when he walked down the hall?
Well done.
Nice job.
Thanks for the call. Let's try Nikki on line one is in Costa Mesa. I don't think we've had a story yet where the pictures ended up on the internet, right? I think maybe Nikki is the one for that. Hey, Nick, what's up?
Hello.
Okay,
getting straight to the point. I was with this guy for a few months, and finally, you know, after, come on, let me film it, I let him film us having sex.
Yeah.
Okay. So far, I love it.
A few weeks later, we broke up. He took the video that we made and posted it on XTube.
Yeah.
And then sent the link of the video to everybody in our address book.
XTube, for those of you who don't know, is like YouTube for porn, basically.
Right.
Exactly. It was the best thing that could have happened, though, because I got calls and phone numbers and
nice.
People asking me out.
All of a sudden you were popular. What if one were to search XTube? What was the what's a keyword that would work there? Would it be Nikki?
I have no idea.
Don't
no
lie.
Don't you lie to us? You know.
Hey, why did he do that to you? I mean, was it a super ugly breakup? Did you cheat on him or something? Why was he so vengeful?
I ended up leaving him for one of his friends.
So you probably deserved it. Okay.
I don't know about that. All right. Thank you, Nikki. We appreciate the call. Let's go to,
Michelle
Daniel.
Is great.
Michelle
okay. is great. Dad's great. They're all great.
Let's do Michelle and Downey. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle.
So your husband talked you into videotaping?
Well, I kind of talked him into it.
You talked him into it. Okay.
It was funny, though, because we hadn't seen each other for like a week or two. So when he came back, you know, we said, well, let's hook up the camera to the TV and let's watch ourselves kind of porno style, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the heat of the moment, dumbass here, me, pushed the record. And this was a video already, a pre-recorded family video of the kids and the whole family and all that stuff.
Right.
So anyhow, we sent the video. We never overwatched it because we never thought we were recording. So we sent it to Mexico. That's where me and him are from.
Mm-hmm.
So his family, yeah.
You sent it to your family in Mexico?
Yeah.
Ouch.
So his family and my family are gathered around, and guess what happened?
Oh, no.
They think they're watching the kids.
Hey, we got a video from
you
kids.
And hubby.
Oh. And this was full-blown porn-style video, not your typical, you know, stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So you guys weren't there when they were watching it. What did they do? They pick up the phone and give you a call and say, hey,
no. I called them because I wanted to see that, you know, the relatives who had taken the stuff, you know, arrived well and whatever. So my aunt answered and she started cracking up and I go, what happened? She goes, thanks for the lessons. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? She goes, look at the video because it's a little video. So I had a, you know, like record it on a VHS or whatever to
right.
send it to them. So I watch it and I go, I don't know what you're talking about. And I go, whoa.
Now I see it. Did you
fantastic.
Did you slate them beforehand? Like, this is the scrunicorn. And then go into it and this is the chocolate pizza.
Oh.
I was like so embarrassed. And then my aunt goes, here, your grandpa wants to talk to you. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Grandpa, what's the date you? Is there what to do? Congratulations to Gabrielle Perales, by the way, from Linwood. Latest winner of Lincoln Park tickets. Your chance to win coming up for Project Revolution. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 o'clock for the local show. And next hour, between 8 and 9 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, when you win, you also win the trip to Boston to see Project Revolution there. So, good times.
Yes.
Let's talk about Al Gore. Let's talk about an inconvenient truth.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't Al Gore go away? By the way, I thought we didn't elect him. I thought that meant we didn't want him around anymore.
Apparently, his slideshow changed everybody's minds. He had slides of, like, I don't know, mountains and stuff. I didn't understand what that was about. But first came the slideshow, then came the film,
which won an Academy Award. Then came, I think, the book.
Yes, yeah. Big best-selling book, right?
Then came the Nobel Prize.
That's right.
Is this the most ever on one effort?
Sure seems like it.
Does seem like he's getting a lot of mileage out of it, that's for
and
sure.
And how do you start with a slideshow and then move on from there? Isn't slideshow really the that's the form of death right there?
You just might slideshow, you get to the slideshow when you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel of other ways that you can milk it. I mean, that's you do the slideshow after you've done the cartoon.
Yes, exactly. The Saturday morning cartoon. So this story comes out of Milan from the AP. It's not a joke. I know it sounds like one, but it's not. They are going to do Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth, the opera. They are now going to make it into an opera.
I don't know
with
that.
Slides?
I don't. I can't imagine. I've never seen an opera, so I don't know. But I don't think, is global warming usually the type of topic that lends itself to an opera?
Yeah, they do a wide variety of topics in opera, but I don't know how this could be any good. So we thought, let's find out what the deal is. Producer Alex has lined up the former Vice President of the United States of America, Mr. Albert Gore, on the phone with us right now on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Al.
Oh. Good morning, Kevin and Baheen. How are you?
Very good. Thank
you. We're fine, but is this report accurate that Your Inconvenient Truth is now going to be made into an opera that's going to be debuting at the famous La Scala Opera House in Milan?
Absolutely. And we're very excited about getting the message out about global warming in a different fashion.
Are you sure you're not being punked? Because this doesn't seem like...
No, I've been in Milan.
Okay.
And we've been working on this.
Oh.
And we're all very excited about the 2011 season of La Scala, and we're working with an amazing composer named Giorgio Battistelli, and he is coming up with some amazing results.
I didn't realize that you were involved at this point, that they were having you help.
Well, they're basing the lyrics of the opera on my book and popular film.
Right.
Okay. But it seems like that material, while it may be important, is a little dry. I don't know how exciting it is to sing about the polar bears having trouble finding ice to lay on, you know?
Well, have you ever seen an opera?
I mean, yeah. a little bit, not very much.
There are a few elements that they almost all have in common.
Okay, like what?
Something tragic happens.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Usually a death or two lovers being torn asunder. Under.
Right.
So this, I think, certainly qualifies as a tragedy.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
They also always have a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not to blow my own horn. If I could blow my own horn, I wouldn't be talking to you. But I like to think of myself as a hero against the villain of global warming.
Now, are you just helping with the project? You're not in it. I mean, you're not going to be on stage.
I will be starring as the lead.
What?
A character called Al Gore.
But you're not an actor.
Well, did you see 30 Rock?
Yeah. I did see your appearance on 30 Rock, and you're not an actor.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
Do you sing opera? Which seems like it might be a part of it.
Technically, I'm not a trained singer.
Okay.
But I do sing to Tipper when we're getting it on.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Ouch. That's not exactly.
She loves it.
That's not exactly the same thing.
So I will be starring as Al Gore in An Inconvenient Truth, the opera. And since I know the source material so well, they think I'm an excellent choice.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what about the, again, we go back to, it's got to be entertaining. It can't just be a message you're beating people over the head with. What about the songs? I mean, what kind of songs can you write about this?
Well, think how entertaining the film was. Hundreds of millions of people went to see An Inconvenient Truth, the film.
Right.
A film that people said no one would see.
That's true.
Because
I agree.
It was about a solemn topic and was basically a slideshow.
Right, right.
But many people found it entertaining.
That is true.
So I think we'll have the similar results with the opera.
Now, have you gone over any songs? Have they picked any songs?
Oh, we've written
stuff?
The songs. As I mentioned, all the lyrics are based on my work about global warming.
Right.
Okay.
And we're well into rehearsals.
What's your favorite so far, Mr. Vice President?
I think the opening number, What is Global Warming?
What is Global Warming?
Someone playing the tambourine.
Sorry.
We didn't think you'd mind if we
join in on the music
if we played along.
You have an orchestra there.
Can you give us a little taste of what this is going to be like?
This is the opening number when we first meet our villain, Global Warming, and our hero, young Al Gore.
Okay.
What is global warming? Carbon dioxide and other gases warm the surface of the planet naturally by trapping solar heat in the atmosphere. This is a good thing because it keeps our planet habitable. However, by burning fossil fuels such as coal, gas, and oil and clearing forests, we have dramatically increased the amount of carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere, and temperatures are rising.
Hey, Al?
Yeah?
Are you working alone on the lyrics?
Yeah, that's my part.
That's what I thought.
Giorgio's
yeah.
working on the music, and I'm working on the lyrics.
Okay.
You want to hear another cut?
Would love
well,
to.
Well, I guess.
The vast majority of scientists agree that global warming is real. It's already happening, and that the results of our activities are not a natural occurrence. The evidence is overwhelming and undeniable.
Al, are you taking any voice lessons?
They think I have a natural gift.
They do. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, they're catchy, but I can't see the kids singing them as they skip out of the opera house.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I think it'll be a big hit. I'm hoping to get a Grammy for the album.
Well, that's the only thing you haven't won lately, I guess.
This is the big closing number.
Oh, okay.
Called Glaciers Are Melting.
Okay.
And it really brings the audience to its feet.
Okay.
We've already seen changes. Glaciers are melting. Plants and animals are being forced from their habitat, and a number of severe storms and droughts are increasing. The number of Category 4 and 5 hurricanes has almost doubled in the last 30 years. What do you think?
I was wrong. I'm totally going to see that.
You got a hit on your hands, sir.
All I know is that as that song was ending, Kevin is screaming, "You're a douchebag," and Mike is screaming, "No, you're a douchebag." That's all I know what's going on in the studio.
That's
here
the level of Jeffersonian debate that happens here behind the scenes at the Kevin Bean Show.
It's all love. You know?
It's 7:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All love.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, I don't know if you had that exclusive, but we just talked to Vice President Al Gore a minute ago. He's
really?
Very involved with that opera at La Scala, it sounds like.
I wish I'd heard.
Yeah.
I was
yeah,
outside smoking.
Sounds really good.
You miss all the good stuff.
I don't listen to your show all that much.
Shouldn't.
No.
Shouldn't.
I'm in the other room, you know, making flapjacks for the kids.
You cook?
It's our monthly breakfast.
Pancake breakfast. Is that
breakfast.
A euphemism? Or?
No, it's our monthly pancake breakfast we have here in the office.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah. I make them on the grill.
What grill?
Which is hard. A charcoal grill. I've got a little hibachi.
You hit flapjack?
Yeah, and you pour the batter onto the grill. It's just hard.
Bit.
It gets very
That's
thin
a mess.
Pancakes. Very small, long, thin pancakes.
Doesn't sound like a good plan.
It's not a good plan at all. That's why we only do it once a month. Pamela Anderson is trying to raise some money for to benefit the people for the ethical treatment of animals.
Mm-hmm. As usual.
Pam Anderson?
She recently had a private estate sale. To raise some money for that charity. I think she sold off some of her underwear and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Now Pam Anderson?
Yes, yes. Now she's ready to sell her Dodge Viper. Want a Viper?
No.
I'd love a Viper.
How dare you? I don't know what that means.
I'm pretty sure that was a Viper I don't even know her joke.
The car plays a prominent role, rather, in Pam Anderson's new E-series, Pam, Girl on the Loose.
Pam Anderson?
But she said it was too dangerous for her to own such a high-performance vehicle. I'm a terrible driver, she said.
Okay, well, at least she knows that about herself.
So she's given up the Viper. The car will be offered at Julian's Auction Summer Entertainment Sale of Hollywood Memorabilia, June 21st and 22nd at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas, if you're interested in bidding on the Viper. So far, people speculate the Dodge Viper will go for upwards of $300,000.
Wow. Oh, no way.
That's what
they're expecting.
Is that
expecting. How expensive they are?
No. But it's Pam Anderson, so they're expecting they'll get some collector.
Pam Anderson?
She better be throwing in her airbags for that cost.
They say Pam's seat in the Dodge Viper will go for $1 million.
Okay.
Don't know why.
Sausage.
That's why.
This is awesome. Jessica Simpson has asked Tony Romo of the Dallas Cowboys to star in her new country music video, and he's on board with the idea.
That is great.
I thought they broke up.
They're on again, off again, apparently. They were off, but then they got back together, and he took her to her sister's wedding. And apparently they've been seeing each other again since that event.
So she's singing a country song, and he's going to be in the video.
She's getting into country music.
She
is. Because, as I mentioned before, anybody can be a star in country music.
Ralph, I think you should test that, and you should make a country music song where you just put it out there.
See if
you
could be,
see if you could have a huge hit in country music.
Take the long way home. Tony Romo will be starring in the video.
You said Homo.
You meant Romo.
I'm sorry, what?
Romo.
Oh, Romo. Yeah. And it's going to be just the two sweethearts all over the country music video.
Good screen. That's
how can they think that's a good idea?
Because it's a great idea, because I support it wholeheartedly.
Will you give me the opportunity, Ralph? I know you're running late, to play a little bit of Tony Romo sing and take me out to the ballgame and only hope that he's singing on Jessica's hit?
Please feel free.
All right, Chicago. Let me hear you. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd.
I'm just saying,
He needs to sing some backup vocals on her hit.
They duet.
I know that sounds like a joke. That was real. He did that at a baseball game. And
he
did. And the full song is worse than you can even imagine after hearing that clip.
It goes off the rails even beyond that.
He gets suitably booed, doesn't he?
I don't remember him getting booed for some reason.
Why the tie-in, by the way? Is he even from the Chicago area?
I don't believe so. No.
I don't know.
He's your quarterback, dude.
Tell us.
We don't know.
And Star Magazine was reporting that Oprah Winfrey may be beginning to wear out her welcome with America.
Really?
Oh, thank God.
Her ratings have declined significantly.
I'm so fat.
Her magazine is not selling.
Oprah, Nopra.
And in a recent poll, most people prefer to watch Ellen DeGeneres' talk show instead of Oprah's. Meanwhile, Us Weekly magazine reports that Oprah is on a 20-day vegan diet to cleanse her body.
Of pounds?
Of pounds.
Yeah, we talked about that when she started it.
I'm so fat.
And this poll says that 97% of Americans suggest she go on a 47-day no-food diet.
To cleanse. My God, you've put on weight.
To cleanse us of Oprah. So we'll see if that happens or not.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard some speculation that she was running off a lot of people this particular year because of how much she's talked about Barack Obama. And people really felt like she was shoving it down their throats, and they weren't interested in hearing what she had to say on the topic.
Plus,
I'm so fat.
I thought she could say whatever she wants whenever she wants to. And people just eat it up with a spoon.
Kevin, is your wife backing off on Oprah, or is she still in line for the revolution?
I don't think so. I think she's still a revolutionary.
Yeah.
I think I'm the first to
go. Waiting for the signal.
Yeah, I'm the first to go.
Today's celebrity birthday is actress Gina. Let me try that again. Actress Gina Gershon is 46 years old today. Actress Jeannie Triplehorn turns 45.
Ooh.
Jimmy Chamberlain, drummer for Smashing Pumpkins, turns 44. My buddy Katie Flannery, the actress who plays Meredith over there on The Office. She's the redhead who flashes a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's very fun.
How do you know her? Did you do improv with her?
Katie and I starred in the real-life Brady Bunch show that toured around America.
Oh, no kidding.
When I was Peter Brady, she was Carol Brady. She was Mom Brady. Very funny. Lady. And I'm
very
glad
funny.
She's doing well. She's also from Philadelphia, so we had that in common.
Do you have her?
Did I have Katie?
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not.
All right.
No. She's 44 years old today. Model actress Elizabeth Hurley is 43. And Shane West, actor from ER and Now Again, is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for this year's Project Revolution with Linkin Park and Busta Rhymes and Chris Cornell and The Bravery and Hawthorne Heights and so much more. It's going to be at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on August the 10th. Let me tell you, someone who doesn't need that information is Nicole Klein from Lake Forest, because she just won her tickets to that show, and she won a seat on board the K-Rock Party plane to see Linkin Park in Boston, and she's qualified for the 2009 VW Tiguan. All of that just for calling the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. Your chance to win coming up on K-Rock.
Beans Blog, Beans Blog. Beans blog.
Think it if you know it.
Come
beans
on.
Blog, beans blog, beans
blog, Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
Why are you hating on Bean's blog today? What's up?
Bean is has been a cranky old man since the day he was born.
Oh, clearly.
When
yes.
he was 1 year old, cranky old man. 10 year old, cranky old man.
I don't like those hijinks.
Cranky, not fun, doesn't like people, negative, loves death, yes. loves it when people die.
Wants to read all about it.
But he's also like a 9 year old girl at the same time. And that's why in Bean's blog, he titles April 25th the intro, and it's a picture of his dog licking a birthday cake. And Bean labels it, "Someone is nine."
Oh,
like he's eight, right?
God.
Who could this? Somebody's nine.
Excuse me, Tater Tot Friday, very popular feature on my blog.
I'd like to focus, first of all, hang on.
Beans blog, no one gives a fuck.
I'd like to focus for a second, though, on the people who respond to Beans blog. I do this
my cherished and beloved readers.
These people need to all die because not only are they reading a post where a dude says, "Someone's nine," they are then commenting on it. They're taking the time to send a comment.
Yes.
Michelle writes, "Happy birthday to Tater Tot."
Aw, how
That's
sweet.
That's very sweet.
That
That's
is
very
sweet, nice. Except for Tater doesn't know it. Nor can you say happy birthday to Tater Tot because he doesn't understand that.
Right.
Leela writes, "Belated birthday greetings, Tater Tot. You've aged so well. What's your secret?"
She's a good-looking nine. I will tell you that.
That's not the point. The point is, who has the time to sit down and write that? I'd like to form a message to Tater Tot. How do you look so young?
They've all agreed to be in Bean's little pretend land.
Yes.
They've all bought a ticket.
Yes. It's bad enough that it's Bean's little pretend land. These people are going along for the ride.
They are happily entering.
Who are they?
It's sad.
L.A. writes, "I love how Tater is licking the yummy goodness of the cake while keeping a cautious eye on the fire. Her mama didn't raise no dummy."
Oh, my.
Honestly.
Bean.
You're so gay.
Doesn't that make you hate the people that respond to Bean's blog?
You should hate everyone who reads your blog.
No, I am very appreciative that they take the time to read and occasionally comment
Bean's
on the subject
blog,
matter.
Bean's blog, no one gives a fuck.
I'm saying they don't care either. They're just playing along with your little... I don't know that Bean's not making it up, by the way. Because he's crazy.
I guarantee him that. Look, Tater Tot Friday is a very popular feature. On the blog, which, by the way, is stronglywordedletter.com, if you want to check it out, there is a link through the Kevin and Bean section.
Room's starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
I do cover a wide variety of topics. And I challenge you, Kevin, as you prepared for this feature of Bean's blog, I challenge you to tell me the truth. Tell me there wasn't at least something on the blog that you perused that you thought was interesting or you're glad you read.
No, I didn't. I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for absurd, and it just was jumping out at me like crazy. It was just like page after page of nutty craziness.
Yeah.
May 26th, for example, this little piggy. "It's not uncommon around my house to talk about piggies. After all, Sophie and Godzilla are both 11 this summer." And then he goes on, blah, blah, blah. "This weekend, somehow I got thinking about the nursery rhyme, This Little Piggy, and it sort of confused me a bit. And then Bean goes on a full-page rant about This Little Piggy, the nursery rhyme." I challenge you to tell me who that's interesting to.
I just think that it's one of those things that everyone learns, everyone sings as a little kid growing up. But when you really stop and look at the lyrics, when you talk about how some of the piggies have some and some don't, and some of the piggies are eating roast beef, and that's kind of creepy, like, how is that happening? And the fact that you can't sing This Little Piggy to a pig because they don't have toes and fingers. I mean, that to me is just ironic.
No! It's not so about pigs.
So Lisa, he says...
It's for little kids' toes.
"This little piggy went to the market. I get the feeling it's not the supermarket and he's not shopping.
Oh my God.
The second little piggy stayed home and I'm fine with that. The third little piggy had roast beef. The fourth little piggy had none." That's the heartbreaker of the story. So he goes through and he takes this little piggy apart.
Why?
As if it's about pigs.
Would you spend 5 minutes?
As if it's
about
pigs. But
this little piggy that goes to market, isn't that kind of a creepy thing to put in a children's nursery rhyme? Is it basically the pig is being raised and then slaughtered? I don't know.
I didn't think of that.
No, that's meaning. That's the accurate meaning, Bean, is that the pig is getting slaughtered. That's the
What do you think it means when the pig goes to market?
You douchebag. It's about the kid's toes or something. I don't know. It's not about a pig. What's wrong with you?
That's what the song is saying. It's saying the pig is going to market, meaning the pig is going to be slaughtered. Maybe I'm just saying that's a creepy thing to put in a kid's
story.
Okay, guy
that doesn't understand human civilization.
Maybe he's going to the supermarket.
That's exactly what I wrote, is I doubt he's going to the supermarket because pigs aren't going to shop.
You're so gay.
It's very unsettling.
Not roast beef either, you idiot.
I don't like it.
Not bad enough that Bean wrote it. Raul answered and commented on it.
Oh, Raul.
I never broke apart this nursery rhyme before. Kudos for doing it, Bean. Anna writes, how funny. I was singing this song to my niece last week and realized I never truly thought about the words to the song. Poor Piggy.
Oh, no.
And it goes on and on.
I'm just saying.
June 2nd, 2008, a beautiful Monday in the neighborhood. Over the weekend, I received that always forwarded stupid email about the late, great Mr. Rogers, secret pass. He's a sniper. He's got tattoos down his sleeve. It's stupid. Bean goes on. But then he says, I remember reading a piece about Fred Rogers on mentalfloss.com last year that is actually worth sharing. It was called 15 Reasons Why Mr. Rogers Was the Best Neighbor Ever. I'll repeat three of them for you here.
Because he's got it memorized.
So he talks about how he used to always drive an Impala, so that was great because he was always whatever, blah, blah, blah.
No, the story was that the car got stolen, and then when the news revealed that it was...
How are you mistaking? No one cares.
Because nobody cares.
The point isn't
but
that he drove an Impala.
No one cares.
The point is when the media
no one cares.
Reported that his Impala
that
was
nobody
stolen,
cares.
Then the thieves
no
brought it back.
No one cares.
The thieves left a note on the dashboard that said we wouldn't have stolen this car if we'd known it was yours. That's a great story.
Do not
That's
care.
A pretty cool.
Don't care.
That's a pretty cool story.
That was point one. Point two is that Mr. Rogers allegedly kept his weight at a very specific weight, 143 pounds. Why, you ask, Lisa?
Why?
He found beauty in the number 143. Mr. Rogers came to see that number as a gift because, as he says, the number 143 means I love you.
How?
It takes one letter to say I. Four letters to say love, and three letters to say you.
Oh, my God.
143.
Mr. Rogers was awesome.
Oh.
Heather writes, I will never be as great a person as Mr. Rogers. You got that right, Heather.
None of us will.
You dumb bitch whore.
How dare you?
Sunny Days writes, thanks for posting this, Bean. It makes you realize how few exceptionally good people there are in the world and how we should all strive to make ourselves better people.
I hate her.
I hate all of these people. Geo writes, Mr. Rogers did the one thing most of us needed to be more of. Not just lend an ear, but truly listen.
It's a good lesson. It's a good message for the kids right there.
JRD writes, in the time since I've read that article on mental floss, I've to be a little more like him. And it's not easy to be a good to the core person like that. And then he goes on about how he thinks he'll never be able to reach that.
I think Mr. Rogers
Anna
just makes
writes,
you think when you see it.
Thanks,
some of
Bean.
Stuff.
I must say, my favorite is he washed his figure to the pound. So cute.
No.
God.
Kathy writes, every once in a while, I will come across Mr. Rogers on PBS, and I love that show just as much as I did when I was a kid. 143, Bean.
It's very sweet.
Aww.
No.
We need to drop a bomb. We need to figure out a way to selectively target people that are on this blog.
I'm with you.
And
I'll
anybody
you.
That hits respond or comment needs to die.
I'll help you.
Sometimes you see my blog and you enjoy it, Lisa.
Occasionally you will point out something that I should read or a picture I should look
but
at.
But you can't get away from the 143
cuteness,
means I love you bullshit.
Sweetness crap. What
sorry.
Is,
I almost
and you,
cursed.
By the way.
Sorry.
You're like the worst. Like, you just grind people
right.
on the show into dust, and there you are on your blog.
Right.
143.
He's being a little cute 8-year-old girl.
Come on.
You effing bitch.
Faker.
I did the history of the Iron Lung recently, which I thought was fascinating.
No way.
You're the most rude,
you
angry, hurtful person I've ever met in my life. Just let him die, you told the little kid. You told the mom about his little kid. You said some of that to a human.
That little kid had too many surgeries. It was getting pointless at that. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
I love you.
You are.
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Just die.
Beans blog. No one gives a fuck.
Tonight, of course, is game 3 of the NBA Finals.
CC.
Lakers against Celtics finally at home. Finally time to turn it around.
Yes.
I feel good about seeing Coach Jackson after game two in Boston. They were asking him about the phenomenal comeback that the Lakers attempted in the fourth quarter and how that was going to play into game three tonight at home.
The momentum you guys gained towards the end, can you guys carry that over to game three?
No.
So I'm very confident now that I've heard that. I realize that that's all the Lakers needed was a chance to come home and play in front of their fans.
Look, I'm a Laker fan and all, but I think somebody needs to wake up Phil. I'm pretty sure he's not paying attention during the game.
Phil got his team into the NBA Finals.
I know.
There's only one other coach who's done that this year.
Yeah. Paul Pierce, by the way, he was interviewed about playing in Los Angeles.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.?
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
Yep. Well, he likes the balls.
Who
doesn't? Like he's got plans after the game tonight is what it sounds like to me.
So during game one and game two, a certain other NBA team had some stones, some cojones, and decided that during the finals was the time to sell their own season tickets for the NBA.
Funny thing about basketball, just when you think you have it all figured out, just when you think you know what to expect, something happens to change the game, and you suddenly realize anything can happen. It's a great time to get in on the action. Clippers season tickets.
What?
Available now. Visit Clippers.com for details.
Available now, available always, available all the time, available if you walk up game time, you can get them.
Good point.
Really, during the finals? I know they're basketball
fans.
Well,
it is a huge audience that they can reach at that time.
Right.
But aren't basketball fans
right.
basketball fans more discerning than to accept Clippers tickets? I mean, come on.
I mean, basketball fans don't want them, and Clipper fans have thought the NBA season's been over for a couple of months. But that was only commercial one. There's some more that are set to air tonight.
Oh, are you kidding me? Really?
We got our hands on a couple of them, yes.
Funny thing about basketball, just when you think you've got it all figured out, everything changes. And if you're a basketball fan, you know that tickets for a basketball game can be very expensive. But what if you could see something that's almost like basketball, but not quite? It's a lot less expensive, but if you squint and don't look too hard, it looks something almost sort of like basketball. Clippers season tickets are now available. Sure, the Clippers aren't professional basketball players, but they're really, really close.
Wow.
It is, Clippers are kind of like non-alcoholic beer. They are kind of looks, smells, and tastes sort of like beer, but you're not going to get drug drinking it.
And then here's the other one that they plan on airing tonight. I think this one's during the second half.
For a lot less than it would cost you to watch a real basketball game, you can watch Clippers basketball. Not really basketball, but an incredible simulation. So order your season tickets for the Clippers now. Technically, we can't call it basketball, so we call it Burskitball. Clippers Burskitball. Get your season tickets now. For more information, go to notquitebasketballbutsortofkindoflikeit.com.
Very, very effective commercials. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:41.
Your voice is still changing, Kevin. I have bad news. At some point, you're going to start getting hair in places you don't know about.
That's the least of my problems.
And your voice is going to change. I'm having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day who tells me that he's seriously looking into converting his automobile. I guess he's got a diesel. He's considering converting it to vegetable oil. And I've heard about this, and I know that it's been around for decades, but it seems like now that we're at the point where gasoline is, what is it on average in L.A. now, about $4.50, something like that?
It is, yeah.
It seems like any other alternative is worth looking into, and I didn't know very much about it, so I asked producer Alex to line up an actual honest-to-goodness expert on the topic, and we have the Emmy Award-winning Miles O'Brien on the line with us from CNN. He is the Chief Technology and Environmental Correspondent for the channel. Thank you for joining us. Miles, how are you this morning?
You know, being an expert on grease is kind of a dubious distinction.
Yeah,
it kind of is.
It's not good.
Now, I hear every once in a while I see stories on your channel that talks about how, things are changing. Vegetable oil now is being stolen from restaurants. They used to have to pay people to take it away from them. Now people are actually breaking in and stealing it because people are using it for fuel. Is this something that is coming on big again because of the current gas prices?
Absolutely. It's amazing how things will get turned upside down when gasoline is $4.50 a gallon. Just about everything we think about is different now, including that stuff. You know, those big dumpsters you see in the back of McDonald's there, it says, you know, inedible grease or whatever. It's gross.
Right, right.
Well, hey, that's liquid gold if you have a vehicle that is rigged up to run on grease. And it can be done for not too much trouble.
How much?
Too much money.
How much money would it take if you had a... What's the cheapest car to change over to that?
Well, first of all, you're going to have a diesel vehicle, okay? Because grease, you know, the vegetable oil does not run on a conventional gasoline motor, okay? So, because diesels are a great engine because they run on almost anything. So, all right, you do that, and there are conversion kits out there. One of the biggest ones is a company called Grease Car. Go to greasecar.com, all one word. And for about, in the neighborhood, depending on your car, somewhere between $1,000 and $4,000, you know, $2,000 being right down the middle, what they do is they take in the spare tire compartment of your trunk, they put in a separate tank into which you put in used vegetable oil or plain old grease, if you want to call it that. And what happens is it still has the diesel tank because the grease cannot really, it has to be heated up before it can be used in the engine.
Okay.
So you start up the engine on diesel, you run it for a couple of minutes until it gets warm enough, and then you flip a switch in the car, and you're off to the races. You're running on this vegetable oil in it. You get about the same mileage, same performance. The tricky part of it is the filtering. That's the hard part, because you can imagine this used vegetable oil that's been in a fryolator with, you know, French fries or fried chicken or whatever the heck. There's all kinds of little particulates in there. We don't want to get in too much detail on this.
Sure.
Right.
It's breakfast time out there. So, you know.
But it has to be filtered, though.
So you've got to make sure you have to get the stuff, let it settle for a period of time, and then filter it, and then make sure your car has some filters in it so that it doesn't clog up the works.
And then make sure that when you run out of gas, you're by a McDonald's or a Burger King.
That's right. Go through the drive-thru, get burger fries, and could I have a cup of grease, please? You know.
But Miles, here's what I didn't know, and I'm glad we're having you on for this reason. So you can't run your car on strictly vegetable oil. You still have to use diesel technology as well.
Right. There's one other way here. There are people that actually take this stuff, this used vegetable oil, and they can make a biodiesel solution, which means it's basically diesel fuel, and as far as your car knows, it's just diesel. But that requires a fair amount of chemistry on your own in order to do that. You don't have to modify your car, but you spend a lot of time being a biodiesel geek in the lab. So really, the most practical solution for people, if they want to do this, is, you know, spend a couple thousand bucks. And at $4.50 a gallon, you get that couple thousand bucks back pretty darn quickly. Find a source for grease. I rode with a kid. It was a great story. He had a little Beetle, diesel Beetle, and he went to his high school cafeteria and said, "Hey, can I take your grease?" And like, "Oh, please, take it." And so he ran his car on this grease. He'd just go to the cafeteria once a week, whenever he needed it. And here's the thing. When you're driving along, you get hungry. It smells so good.
Yes. That's the key. And you can just put French fries in the tank, and they'll come right out. Now, let me ask you this. So you're saying it takes about $2,000. You got to put a tank in your trunk. You got to get filters. Right. You got to have diesel. And you also have to contact somebody and find a source of this oil someplace.
And then take that grease and take it home.
This sounds like the worst idea ever.
It's definitely not for everybody. And you got it. Let's put this in perspective. Americans use 140 billion gallons of gasoline a year, okay? And the amount of grease, despite all the fast food we eat, the amount of grease we produce collectively is about 3 billion gallons. So we're talking about a 2% solution at best. And there are probably 2% of us out there who are willing to go through all this trouble. But what's happening, what you're seeing out there is...
Fights by the trash cans out back trying to get the grease?
Exactly. The what's happening is people are actually turning this into a little bit of a business. And you can, they'll go and get the grease, they'll filter it and provide you with an end product thing you can put in the back of your car. And they're charging on the order of $3 a gallon for this. So you're, you know, with diesel prices are higher than regular.
It's over $5 a gallon, easy, yeah.
So a $3 per gallon vegetable oil alternative is actually a pretty good deal, and it takes a lot of the hassle out of it for you. So, it's clearly not for everybody. It's not a solution to our problems, but it gives you a sense you know, that Americans are really, when they're up against a wall in a situation like this, they're pretty resourceful people.
I guess, but this seems like one of those ideas that we're all going to look back on and go, boy, that was stupid.
But what Miles is saying, though, is if you happen to live in an area where somebody's doing most of the hard work, somebody's already cleaning the stuff and making it available to you, and it's still at a savings, it seems like something that like that would be, although not right for everybody, would certainly be worth looking into if you could make it work. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Shoot,
I see that.
Fucking doing this business on the side. You know, who knows?
So right. Miles, well, I'll do it if you'll provide me with the oil.
it's not the answer that I was hoping for, Miles. I was hoping it would be simpler than that. But, you know, maybe, I mean, now they're talking about, $5 everywhere by this summer. They're talking about maybe $6 gas per gallon next year. And that's very, very likely. Maybe what you're talking about is something that will start to happen on a wider scale because it's something that the consumer is going to be demanding.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I still think probably the easier solution for people, number one, is conserve the best you can, don't go out so much. You know, look at hybrids, look at high mileage vehicles. You know, as a practical matter, that's going to make more sense for people than. But hey, like I say, this is a niche thing, and there are going to be people out there who are willing to do this.
Of course, yeah. All right, good answer, Miles. Great information. Thank you. Miles O'Brien is the CNN Chief Technology and Environment Correspondent. We appreciate having you on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Have a great day.
Anytime.
Thank you. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Did you know Studio City is celebrating its 80th anniversary this year?
I was hoping that conversation could be kept off the air.
Happy birthday, Studio City.
No.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Hey,
dude, I got that. Hang on.
Another anniversary.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Another anniversary. On this day in 1935, Alcoholics Anonymous was founded.
Oh.
Cheers. Here's a toast to Alcoholics Anonymous.
I drink my
Bushmills.
Ralph.
You alcoholics don't know what you're missing.
They do.
Nothing like
Ralph doesn't even have to be anonymous. He's not ashamed to put his name on it. He's happy to be drinking.
Just remember, quitters never prosper.
It's Ralph Garman.
Take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores today. The Bucket List is available to your perusal. If you haven't seen it in the theaters, you can see Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson dying doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
How was that, by the way? I don't remember what the reviews were on that one at the time. Was it any good?
Medium reviews, I would say.
My parents
lukewarm.
Liked it.
Old people close to death seem to enjoy
they
it a
did.
Lot.
Old people close to death. All right.
TwoGuysOneBucket.com. Better.
The Other Boleyn Girl, also available on DVD today, as is Jumper.
Yeah.
And Witless Protection.
Yes. It's a banner day.
If you're a Cable Guy fan, Larry the Cable Guy. John Adams, the HBO miniseries.
Yes.
Is available on DVD today. I recommend that box set highly. An excellent,
so
excellent
great.
Series.
No.
Worst sex scene in cinema history.
Yeah. For Kevin, there's Home Improvement, the complete 8th season.
Now we're talking.
Check out Tim Allen going, oh.
No!
Al?
Saying that a lot.
Yeah, I never watched that show.
Boondocks, the complete 2nd season. If you've never seen the animated series Boondocks, you owe it to yourself. It is hysterical.
Oh, my.
Ralph stands alone
neither,
on this one.
Neither of you like Boondocks?
I care love for it. Boondocks.
Freaking genius.
I love it.
I don't dislike it. I don't think I've ever seen it. That's why. I don't.
Well, that's what you
don't know anything about it.
I dislike it.
Well, you should see it. It's very funny.
All right.
It's and the Dukes of Hazzard 2 reunion movie specials are available on one DVD today. You can get Tom Wopat and John Schneider.
Isn't that too much entertainment for one DVD?
Reprising their roles as Bo and Luke.
That I'm down on.
CDs, not much in the way of... Jacob Dylan's got a new CD today, Seeing Things. Bob Dylan's kid.
Sure. Want to hear a clip from that?
N.E.R.D., Seeing Sounds, their new CD, also in stores today. And Flavors of Entanglement by Alanis Morissette, a new CD in stores today.
Okay.
So there's your update on your new release Tuesday.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Christina Aguilera likes her breasts big.
As do we
too.
They're
Star
enormous.
Magazine reports that the new mom of son Max plans to breastfeed until he's 2 because she likes her new cleavage.
Giant size cans.
Meanwhile... The new mom has already put Max to work. Us Weekly magazine reports the two have filmed an ad for Rock the Vote for this fall. Christina appears with her new son, Max. Yeah,
he's how old?
But he's really opinionated. I mean, he really wanted to get his point of view.
Max
out
can't tell me to vote or not vote.
Yes, he can.
I don't care what Max says.
Max knows.
I am out.
I bet you Max knows more about the candidates than you do, Kevin.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
Clay Aiken didn't want everyone to know that artificial insemination was used to knock up producer James Foster.
He didn't?
No. According to Star Magazine, the American Idol runner-up was hoping that news that he had fathered a baby with 50-year-old James Foster would stop people from saying he's gay.
Gay?
Look at her. I think it's pretty obvious.
Once the story got out about how the baby was conceived, he felt that added just fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
And now he's concerned that more people think he's gay.
Oh, my God. Oh.
How could we get that impression? As if we're going to say, wait a minute, she's pregnant? Wow, he's straight. Boy, was I wrong.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know.
I mean, really?
I lean like a homo. Spread them wide. Ass cheeks up. Spread them wide. I lean like a homo.
Spread them wide. Clay Aiken's new hit.
He spends his entire life trying to convince people he's gay, and then he goes, what? I like B.
More same-sex showbiz news. Penelope Cruz had to kiss Scarlett Johansson for a scene in their new movie. Woody Allen's Vicky Cristina Barcelona. But she says it was no big deal. In fact, she tells AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website, that the only thing she really remembers about that day of shooting was that there was an unusual number of extra crewmen crowding the set that day.
Really? Sure.
It
seemed like everyone reported for duty on the day that scene was filmed. So she had a big audience.
Wish I would have known that was happening. I would have.
Woody Allen, by the way. Scarlett, could you just get naked and make out with Penelope Cruz? Great. Dirty old man.
Look, I know that she's your girlfriend and all, Kevin. I don't mean to disparage ScarJo, but she's a terrible actress, and Woody Allen hires her over and
this
over
is like
and over again.
Him,
yeah.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
No, it's not that she's beautiful. I understand that he digs her at all, but at some point, don't you just have to say, look, I love having her around and I love looking at her, but seriously, she's killing my movies.
Yeah, he should.
I don't.
Should
I think you
move on.
I think you think about doing that, and then in your mind you go
giant size cannons.
Well, she can stay.
He's made horrible mistakes like that before, though.
He has. He does. He does fall in love with an actor and won't let him go.
Yeah. Do you remember? Was it Marielle Hemingway in Manhattan?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Yes.
16-year-old Marielle Hemingway, who's just a horrible actress. She was the lead in the movie.
Yeah.
Luckily, she had to play a vapid idiot 16-year-old. So. Wasn't too much of a stretch, but he was in love with her, too. And more movie news. Good news for Dave, the King of Mexico. Columbia Pictures has announced via Variety newspaper that there will be a live-action Smurf movie. The Smurfs are coming to the big screen. That's Smurftastic.
A live-action Smurf.
That's Smurf-erific. I don't know one thing about the Smurfs. I don't even know what
they
are.
They're small, they're blue, and there's only one chick among them. Smurfette. It's a bunch of dude Smurfs and then Smurfette. Dude.
Sounds sloppy. I got yelled at when I went in the other room and started making fun of Dave because Alex joined in and she started screaming at me.
We all love the Smurfs.
We love the Smurfs!
All right. I think the reason they're all blue is because there's only one chick in the whole society of Smurfs. So things get backed up and they get blue. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't. No, I don't.
Bubbles. Bubbles. Bubbles.
Bubbles.
Are we doing Dylan now?
I don't know, are we?
No word yet on who will star as the Smurfs. But I sure hope Tim Allen's involved. Come on, Timmy. You can be Papa Smurf. Then we can get Kevin James, maybe, to be...
There you go.
Billy Smurf, or whoever they are.
Why are you bad, America?
Stop
the cable
it.
Guy.
Stop it, Smurfs.
Maybe Woody Allen can make it, and Scarlett Johansson can be the only girl Smurf.
Did you know the Smurfs are 50 years old?
No.
What?
They were invented in France in 1958.
No kidding.
Yeah. Figures.
Figures.
French,
yeah.
Stinking.
Let's
frogs.
All keep it funky now.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Gina Gershon. What did that have to do with
I don't know.
With
I'm
anything?
Trying to figure that out. Yeah.
Gina Gershon's 46 years old today. Jeannie Triplehorn from Big Love over there on the HBO is 45. Jimmy Chamberlain, drummer for Smashing Pumpkins, and Zwan is 44. Katie Flannery from The Office turns 44 years old today as well. Model actress Elizabeth Hurley celebrates her 43rd birthday.
Pam Anderson?
No, she's not celebrating a birthday. And Shane West of ER and Now and Again, he is 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
KRock.com is the site that we constantly send you to. You really ought to check it out a few times a week because we're always adding new stuff. And that's why from time to time we present on the Kevin and Bean Show the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that meet your view. And life's so hard that you'll start spewing Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Shame Lighting died. He was a good kid. I miss
He's
him.
He's working full-time in video now on the website, krock.com.
Yeah, passed away. It was kind of sad to see him so young with a wife and small children, but I do miss him. He did leave behind quite a legacy of great jingles like that one.
We don't know if this one is real or not. It strikes us as fake. I don't know why, but it strikes us as fake.
Yeah, it could be.
And I'm sure if you haven't seen it, a lot of your friends have. The office worker that goes insane, goes nuts, starts throwing computers around, steps on top of the desk. Kicking stuff off the desk and picking up a monitor and throwing it, and people are screaming and running around the office. I don't know why it strikes me as fake, but it does.
You just don't really ever see people going off like that for that length of time, too. It goes on for a while.
I've never seen the version with the audio that I know we put out. The one that I've seen, the one that I received 100 times, was the security footage that had no audio.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out what set this guy off. I mean, it looks like somebody comes up to this dude and says something to him in his cubicle, and the guy just goes ballistic and picks up his computer and throws it at the dude. And from then on, it just it evolves from there. The reason I thought it was fake is I don't know if you've ever tried to pick up a computer monitor and throw it, but it's A, not easy to do, but B, it's connected to a lot of stuff. I mean, it's usually connected to a printer. It's connected to your computer. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would snap away as easily as it does to make it available to throw through the air. That's what struck me as odd.
If it's real, it's awesome. Because dude is losing it.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you watched the Spelling Bee. Was this last weekend? The weekend before?
This was last Friday night.
On ABC, they actually showed a couple of hours of the Spelling Bee. And one of the words that came up, there's a link to it at krock.com.
Samir Mishra returns.
These are, I don't know, 11, 12-year-olds for the most part.
Numbnut.
Numbnuts? What?
Numbnut.
He's like, really wants to know, is that really the word that I have to spell? And the audience is going crazy.
Numbnut.
Oh, numbnut. That's a relief.
By the way, he's so smart, and he did spell the word right.
Yeah.
When he said, oh, numbnut, it's because he recognized what the word was that was being asked. And it means some sort of a blanket that you put between a saddle and a horse to make sure the horse doesn't get chased. The rest of us would never have heard of the word numbnut. All we would have been able to hear in our head is numbnut. It has to be numbnut. It's like the only possible word it could be.
It's like N-U-M-N-A-H or something like that. And Bean's right. He totally recognized the word, which is a bummer because really. There's the evolution of the fist bump. I don't know if you've seen this online yet.
The fist bump, which prevents possibly a digit being dislocated, or a lot of guys go to the bathroom during the game and are concerned whether or not they washed their hands when they came out. So actually, it's also a sanitary form of shaking hands.
Nice and firm, you know, guy's guy, handshake.
Well, the first time I was introduced to the fist bump, I really didn't know what to do. He stuck his hand out to me, and I didn't know if it was going to hit me or if I was supposed to grab it or latch onto it.
Yeah, oh, they're so white.
You're supposed to latch onto it.
The fist bump, also known as the pound, by the way, has been thrust into the news the last couple of weeks because Barack Obama gave his wife Michelle the fist bump. And no, Mike, that's not a sexual euphemism. On stage in Minnesota the night that he clinched the delegates for the nomination, right? And everybody just freaked out by that. First of all, the old people are like, what is that? What is that thing that they're doing up there with their hands? Because they'd never seen it before. And then there are people over on Fox News, for instance, who are suggesting that it's some sort of a terrorist symbol. I swear to God, I'm not kidding.
Kidding.
You have to see that video. It's unbelievable.
No, they weren't. They weren't saying that, though.
God.
The but New they York weren't Times, saying that for
they
real.
They were. Yes. Yes, they were.
Really?
Yes. Well, he's the nominee now, so the smearing has to be
him.
But the New York Times actually wrote an article, I assume, to their 80-year-old white people who read it, describing what the fist bump was, how it's kind of like a high five, but it's closed fist.
Don't be
it
sort afraid, of replaces old people.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
Look, I know he's black, but seriously, this is nothing to be scared of, is basically what they were telling the readers. But for some reason, the fist bump is now hotter than ever.
It means the time is now to terrorists, apparently. There's another link up there at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for 99 words for boobs.
Gerbers, servers, holy grails, whoopee cushions, humpback whales, flying saucers, traffic stoppers, super big gulps, double whoppers, pillows, billows, dongalillos, soft serve cones and armadillos, pimped out hubcaps, inner tubes, 99 words for boobs.
Don't think that's not my ringtone, by the way.
Yeah. And somebody edited together Rachel Ray, who Omar, as you know, on this program despises. She's the fat Italian cook that says a lot of stupid words, and you can cook food in 30
like
seconds or less.
EOV, yeah, she minutes. Has the 30
whatever.
Minutes.
Who cares?
Meals.
Somebody took a lot of her shows and took just clips that might sound like sex if she wasn't talking about food and put them all together. And it's quite funny. It's labeled Rachel Ray's previous job.
I'm Rachel Ray. I'm going to show you how to please everybody in a flash. Let's go grab some of that meat. Man, I love a big your body just starts to crave big, thick I had more than my share of the old There is not a I ever met that I did not like. Just gonna give it a taste. Nice, even strokes. Here's the big finish.
Right, she's talking about food, people.
And it gets messy in a minute. Stand back now. I don't want to splatter you. I'm finishing it off. Come on, baby. There you go. And oh, yeah, all of a sudden, whoo, another one of them facials.
Oh, that one had a lot to give us, huh?
Right.
Yummy.
She's talking about food again.
You're a whore! A filthy, filthy whore!
Go to KROQ.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and internet roundup is a whole different thing. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't start talking here, do I?
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing here.
Well, I don't start talking.
Play the thing.
You play the
just
thing right
hit the button.
Song.
I start with...
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
I think you have potential. I don't think you're there yet, but I think someday you're going to be quite the broadcaster, Kevin.
No, I don't think so.
I see good things in your future.
I'm not getting that feeling.
What it do is 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. Get on the air. Get a prize. Got a couple of lines open right now. You can talk to us and get a $50 gift card from Journeys.
Not the band,
Ralph. No, it's the shoes and stuff. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our pal Stinky? He's up in Ventura.
I'm sorry. Did you say Stinky?
Stinky, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I understand you've got some help for us.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Pick up your phone for us, Stink.
All right, hang on. I'm on my Bluetooth. Let me get off this stupid thing.
That's much better. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, how's that?
There you go. Much better.
Much better. Right. Thank you.
So, your cat problem.
Yes.
I got a buddy who's got about a 20-foot anaconda.
Done.
All we need is a kiddie pool, and in about a month, no more kitties.
Done.
Well, that's really funny and all, but
so
we're not
done.
Do that.
Way unbelievably done.
But can't snake
can't eat,
from
Lisa?
A snake faster than a snake can catch a cat?
Oh, it'll have no problem getting them.
No.
Unless you put the snake in a cage with a cat, I don't think he's going to catch the cat.
Might there be a problem with an anaconda being in a parking lot where we park? Might that be a problem? The human problem.
You guys already run from the cats. You can get away from the anaconda.
All right.
You can't handle a 20-foot anaconda, Kevin. That's on you. But the rest of us aren't concerned.
All right, Stink. We're going to put you on hold.
Why so hung up with all the minute details of his plan? Come on, give Stinky a chance here. I think it would be fine. Look, the snake's got to eat anyway, right? It's just the circle of life. So let the snake have a few cats.
31 years to catch all the cats in the parking lot.
And they keep breeding.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's say good morning to Joe, who is calling from Commerce. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Joe?
What's going on?
Hey, I got a story about, I don't know if you guys saw it, about this lone Laker fan. Celtic fan. That was up in Staples Center, you know, when you could go watch the game for $15.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I did see that.
And did you see what happened to that Boston fan?
I did not see what happened to him. Was he being obnoxious?
He was talking trash, and he just got drowned in yellow jerseys. I mean, they just bombarded him.
Yeah.
All you see was fist flying. Legs kicking, beer flying. I saw a video
of this. Let me pick it up from here, Joe. This was at Staples Center, as Joe said. You could go and pay to watch the game with other Laker fans at Staples Center. It was an away game, right? And this one guy there was a big Celtic fan, was apparently mouthing off because Boston was winning and stuff. And the Lakers fans just jumped on top of him and just dogpile, and fists were flying. It turned into a brawl. there wasn't one security guy in the whole length of the tape that I saw. Wasn't one person ever stepping in. No authority trying to break him up or anything like that. Mm. It just seemed like it went on for minutes.
Yeah, and maybe it's like feel like home.
Yeah, maybe it's like in hockey where they go, guy had it coming, so let's just let him beat it out of him for a
minute. Maybe, but I don't know. It seemed like trouble. I don't know.
You know, it seems like it shouldn't happen, but if you're going to be an a-hole fan in the other team's place, it's not going to be a huge surprise if bad things happen to you.
Why would you, if you're a Celtics fan, the game's on national television, why would you go down to the Staples Center just to get in the grill of hardcore Lakers fans who are playing their $15 to be at the Staples Center?
I agree. It's one thing to go down there if you're seeing your team. If you're a Celtics fan, the Celtics are playing tonight, and you want to go down tonight, and see them. I understand that, yes.
You got a Celtics jersey on tonight at the Staples Center, that's different. But to go down there and just stir it up is stupid.
I agree. I totally agree.
Well done, Lakers fans. I think that's what we're saying. Fernando in Orange, good morning.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Fernando?
What's going on?
I was calling because you guys see this commercial about the guy who's going on the or on TV putting his Social Security number out there saying he guarantees.
Yeah.
I've heard the radio commercials.
It's a LifeLock, isn't it? Isn't that the guy?
Yeah, LifeLock. Well, I guess a couple weeks back they were saying that there was 88 people tried getting his Social Security number, and one person actually got a driver's license number from him. So now he's saying, oh well, yeah, I guess it happened.
Really?
This is a guy whose commercials, if you haven't seen it, he says, here's my Social Security number, and then he tells you what it is, and then he says, I'm so sure it's not going to be stolen because blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Company.
Were they able to do anything with that, though, in terms of compromising his credit or anything like that?
You know what? They didn't say. They just said that they ended up taking his license, and that he had to come out and say that, yeah, you know what, they got it, and I guess they're...
My product isn't as good as I thought.
A whole bunch of money on
that's
it.
Less than a good commercial.
Here's my address, and now I defy you to run anything out of my house.
Okay, they got all my furniture. But I'm telling you now, I have such and such a car.
Here's my wife. I'm going to leave her naked, alone, in a storage facility.
No one will ever find
her. With her.
That is awesome. You know, by the way, that light bulbs went off over every head in America when that guy put his Social Security number up, thinking, how can I screw this guy up, and how can I get this dude's number?
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, he was so overly confident about it, too. He's challenging you, basically, is what
he is. I know.
Let's say good morning to Chris in Burbank. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. What it do, nephew, baby
boo?
What it do?
All right, so I got off work. I was filling in for somebody at Staples Center, and I have a Jeep Wrangler with two huge Laker flags on it, right? And I was like, go straight to the game or make a drive-by in front of all the screaming fans in front of Staples Center. So 2,000 of the 5,000 people in front of Staples start screaming and yelling, go Lakers, and I scream back, and I go, doot-doot-doot-doot, with my horn. I get pulled over for illegal use of horn.
Wait a minute.
You're kidding.
No.
A policeman pulled you over in front of Staples Center for illegally honking your horn?
Yes.
Is there an illegal use of horn?
Yeah, there is.
I guess
there is.
Yeah. He said I could have incited a riot. I mean, there's families there.
Use it inappropriately.
He played in on me a little bit. But then his partner goes, it probably didn't help that you did it in front of the entire LAPD and our captain.
But, I mean, it's kind of, there's a long tradition of honking horns in a celebratory fashion at a sporting event. I mean, that's BS. It's clear that you weren't doing it for some nefarious purpose.
Exactly, and there was no cars in front of me, nobody around. I mean, there was a horse and a couple cops on top of that, but nothing really.
Damn, you got caught by a horse?
No.
Okay.
No. That would have been cool.
I think I would have done that in front of the cops, and I would have never thought in a million years I could get in trouble for it.
Did that cop say, you park your car over here? I don't want to hear you beeping any more horns for the Lakers.
Yeah, he was wearing a green.
Sure. That's what I thought.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. So I guess what we're saying is don't beat up Celtics fans tonight and don't honk your horn, I guess is what we're saying, right?
I don't think we're saying either of those.
Don't steal Social Security numbers.
Right.
I want to thank Miles O'Brien for joining us today, CNN Chief Technology and Environmental Correspondent, for talking us out of converting our car to vegetable oil. Tomorrow, big show on the Kevin Bean program. Am I right?
Well, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith, of course, about Lakers-Celtics Finals Game 3 tonight. We are going to talk to an author, as it is Book Wednesdays. Joel Dirfner has written a book.
Joel.
That Psycho Mike has probably already committed to memory, called Swish, My Quest to Become the Gayest Person Ever.
Mike's starring in the film version.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about that stupid poetry or your stupid quotations that you put at the end of your email. Stop it. Stop doing that. We don't need to see your stupid quotation, your stupid
poetry.
Does
this bother you that much?
Yes.
Yeah. What is the deal with that? Why are you so upset by that?
Jeez. I don't know. It just bugs me. Because then when you read them, you go, shut up.
Don't read them.
All right. LaQuisha is on tomorrow.
We need a new break for tomorrow.
Solved.
Don't read those.
LaQuisha talking about A Shot of Love 2 with Tila Tequila. And also, don't forget K-Rock's Road Trip USA. Stop number 2 is Lincoln Park in Boston at 8, 12, 4, and 8. And then every hour you win those tickets plus the key to the car.
When will Tila Tequila be done, Ralph? Is that show ever going to end? What's the deal?
I hope not.
I think they've got only 4 left, and she's going to their homes, their family's homes, tonight.
Why are you asking Ralph? Like, he knows.
Because he watches the show sometimes,
too. I've been watching the show. Oh. And I think I think we're down to the last 2 episodes. I think it's this one and then another one. That's it.
Thank God.
In closing, can I play the Paul Pierce interview? Do we have time for that?
Okay.
Why do you think you play so well when you go to L.A.?
I don't know. I like the balls in L.A.
All right. Yes, who does?
We got good balls.
There you go.
This city has good balls.
It's a ballicious city.
Oh, some great, great balls.
Balls. All right. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. How about some Death Cab for Cutie, their latest, also The Offspring, Smashing Pumpkins, Bad Religion, Marilyn Manson, and more. All after this on K-Rock.